All right, guys. Every file completely commercial-free. If I can get just 500 monthly subscribers, every show can be offered to you guys completely commercial-free. So, I'd appreciate it if you guys went to airamericaplace.com, click donate, and please help make it possible.
Mark Maron, it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, philosopher kings and queens, geniuses, here it comes.
Fire truck!
That's right, it's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. How are you, working class heroes, poets, progressive utopians with no sense of humor? Good morning. We're here to take down the belligerent, smug, arrogant, fake Christian, AWOL, blow monkey puppet of the Cheney regime's neocon death cult. I think he's going to go down on his own. I don't see any way that he can stand up to John Kerry's concise, intelligent, you know, diplomatic presentation tonight. There's no way. He's completely on the defense of Mark Riley, and we're going to talk about that in a minute.
We're going to talk about that all morning because it's starting to go the way I thought it was going to go.
Dude, I think...
And in the end, it's not going to be as close as everyone's telling you it is now.
Yeah, that's a Riley speculation. I want you to know, Mark Riley, that we are keeping taped progress of all of your prophecies.
That's right. And you know what? On election night, you're going to play each and every one of them because they're going to be right.
Okay.
That's right.
All right. Damn it. We're even going to keep the more secondary ones.
Yes, that's right.
No, absolutely.
That's for blackmail, man. You can't do that.
I think you're absolutely right, dude. And I think we're going to talk about that all day today, but I'm exhausted. Can I just say that? It's Friday. I'm not exhausted in the way that a listener would go, don't be exhausted because we have things to do. No, I'm not that kind of exhausted. I'm a good kind of exhausted. And I think my cats have ruined my sense of smell because all I smell is cat poop.
Really?
Yeah. If someone's standing next to me going, hey, pizza, I'm like, no, that's cat poop. How do you mistake that?
Can we test this? We got some Lysol spray over here. There's Lysol over there. Spray it and see what it smells like.
Because I think it smells weird in here.
I know. I didn't smell it. Kalo didn't smell it.
Hey, can you smell that at home? Can you smell something weird in your car? Maybe it's just the entire planet smells weird.
Yeah, that's possible.
Here's a frightening possibility. They found that, you know, we're dredging around on drudge.
Oh, yeah.
And this is not a political story, but in Anchorage, Alaska, a disturbing discovery was made Wednesday inside a South Anchorage home. Police found more than 200 cats and other animals inside living in unsanitary conditions. If you have 200 animals anywhere, you can pretty much say it's unsanitary.
I
don't know what the hinge is there. It's like these 200 animals shouldn't be living in this condition. But the scary thing is I know that whoever's house this started as a noble project. Like, I'm going to help the animals.
Yeah.
And they got hooked. They got hooked on helping animals, and there's 200 cats. Could you imagine that? I got four. It's too much.
Yeah, but Mark,
200 cats.
200 cats. If it was a noble undertaking to start with, what prevented this person from, like, flushing the toilet or perhaps cleaning the rest of the house? I mean, did the 200 cats actually make that impossible to do? Because apparently, according to that story, you know, they found, the toilet needed a few thousand flushes to get everything out of it.
Well, maybe,
there was standing water all over everything.
I guess the real question is, did the person who lived there, was there any evidence of her? Were there just some, or him, were there just some bones on the ground? Who knows? Maybe
he or she sacrificed themselves.
Yeah, gave their lives
to Lord Animal.
Yeah, went out to... Oh man, I can't get rid of these cats now. I just talked to my neighbor Jody. Oh,
no one that knows you is ever going to take these cats the way you've been talking about them.
Don't take this. Here's what happens, right? She's got a friend. I was down there because I got to take care of them this weekend. My personal zoo. My neighbors have got to take care of them. And they're like, Stoli, her boyfriend, her husband, I'm sorry, said, dude, you got to stop talking about the cats on the roof. And I know what he was talking about. I'm like, oh, no, it's getting tired, right? And he's like, no, we got a friend whose cat died. And he was thinking about getting a new cat. And I told him, I said, look, we got our buddy Mark upstairs has got some kittens, Mark Maron.
And the guy goes, no, I'm not taking those cats. I heard about those cats. Those cats are crazy. I've heard him talk about it. There's no way I'm taking those cats. There's something wrong with those cats.
Your reputation precedes you. You see that?
The hilarious thing is, Mark, is that, like, the ones that don't let me pet them, when I corner them and finally pet them, is that they're like, and then, like, they're purring, but they're, like, angry at the same time. They're like, oh, God, that feels good. Stop it. I can't, oh, that feels great, but I'm not supposed to be liking this.
And
I'm
like, so.
No, they're exactly like me.
I'll take your word on that.
It's like, you know, come here, I love you. Ouch, stop it, you know.
Well, they stop scratching you, though, right? They stop digging their claws into your flesh.
As long as they don't grab them like Lenny from Mice and Men, they won't scratch me like, oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, this gash is starting to heal. Last night I did Richard Belzer's show at Caroline's. I don't know if any of our listeners came out for it, but got a good round of applause when Air America was mentioned.
Oh, cool.
Bells is doing some sort of a variety show down there. He's got a big band set up, and he comes out and does his old Bells stuff. That's what I said. I said, keep it going for Richard Belzer, reprising the role of Richard Belzer here on stage. You know, because Bells has been a classic for, it's got to be going on like 25, 30 years.
Yeah, I mean, I remember him in my dim past.
Sure, from Catch a Rising Star. He was the house MC at Catch a Rising Star in its heyday, I guess, in the mid-70s, when Belushi used to hang out there, Robin Williams used to hang out there. I mean, it actually used to be a scene. You know, people, you know, with some credibility and you know, actually reasonably intelligent, urbane people used to go into comedy clubs.
But you know what always amazed me about Belzer is that he was able to make the transition from comedy into, like, some very serious drama. Homicide Life on the Streets was not playing.
Dude, it wasn't like it happened overnight.
I know, it took some time, but a lot of comics try to do that, and they never managed to make the transition.
I think it was for a good time for him, you know, because I don't know, you know, I think he likes doing stand-up, but it's a difficult place to be, you know, in your 50s, you know, and having the only option stand-up. I also think years ago he made a little jack on that lawsuit against that wrestler that knocked him out on television.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He did. He made, what, 5-6 figures on that?
Yeah. And, you know, he's always been around. He's always been nice to me. Now, did I ever tell you that story about Dennis Miller?
Dennis Miller?
It's a great story. I can't believe I'm telling on it.
Come on, run it.
All right. It's years ago. I was living in Boston. And Jimmy Miller, Dennis's brother, is a big manager, you know. And Janine and I, actually, we were working at Catch Rising Star in Boston. This has got to be, I guess, the early 90s. Mm-hmm. You know, we were just, you know, starting out. And Jimmy Miller was in town, and I knew him because I'd met with him. He used to book a club out in New Mexico from L.A. Anyways, he manages Jim Carrey. He's a big dude. So Miller's in town, and I got a car, and I'm giving Janine a ride home, and I'm asking Jimmy if he wants to go out, you know, have a drink or whatever. So we're driving, me and Garofalo and Miller, and, you know, I'm frothing, you know, I'm ranting on about something, and I'm like, dude, man, your brother paid his dues. I mean, how long did it take for him to, like, you know, become, like, you know, Dennis Miller, you know what I mean? You know, I'm and, you know, I mean, you know, he's got his own personality. And then, like, Jimmy Miller from the backseat just going, he's doing Belzer. He's doing Belzer. And it's like that whole sort of, right, man. Yeah, sure, man. Yeah, hey, man. That's Belzer.
Yeah.
That's classic Belzer, you know. And Belzer is classic himself. He got up there and he started doing his Mick Jagger impression. Then he did, he did some Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan impression. I mean, you've got to realize that Belzer did the National Lampoon Lemmings. You know, he did that whole, not the Lemmings, but the National Lampoon Radio Hour. He was in the movie Groove 2. You remember the Groove 2?
Oh, I remember the Groove 2.
He played the dope dealer.
Yeah.
You know, he was in Scarface. He was the comic at the shootout in Scarface.
That's right. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
But the Groove Tube, I really forgot about, because Groove Tube was was one of those movies.
Hilarious movie.
Well, yeah. And I was like watching that kind of stuff and John Waters at the same time. It kind of really molded my personality.
Well, the Groove Tube was like almost sketch comedy. It was almost, you know, like Saturday Night Live. It's a bunch of vignettes.
Yeah.
You know, there was that great thing with Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
Where the guy was like, I'm looking over my forehead. Remember that? Where the guy's just singing and Chevy Chase just standing behind him and they're both wearing the striped shirts, and you don't know why Chevy Chase is standing there, and then the second verse, you know, Chevy Chase just starts playing the guy's head.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. That wasn't that the one with the Bruce Lee takeoff in it, too?
Yeah.
That. I love that. What was it? There was something, they gave him a really ridiculous accent.
Yeah, I can't remember the whole thing, but it was like Enter the Dragon.
Total concentration.
Yeah. It was funny, man, and Bells, he's a sweet guy, you know, and, you know, he's very political in sense, you know, He used to do a lot of Reagan stuff, I remember, in the 80s, and now he's doing some political stuff, but he's very angry about the politics. So, you know, he shifts back and forth between doing his shtick and doing his crowd work into, like, you know, the world is ending, you know. But not like Louis Black angry, but, you know, he's a smart guy. You know, Belzer's got a house in France. He hangs out with Gore Vidal. You know, he does big reading. He co-wrote and co-compiled a book on conspiracies, and he's always been a really sweet guy to me.
So you getting him up here or what, man?
I told him, but it's very difficult, he said. He said, it's hard for me because I'm shooting. You know, I'd love to do a phoner from the set, so, you know, I'll put that in Clutch Larson's head. That, you know,
maybe, that would be great.
Maybe you could do a phoner from the set. And these Belzer are so, you know, the personality is there. It'd be great whether he's on the phone or in the studio. It's great.
What's he shooting?
He's shooting Homicide.
Is Homicide still on?
Law and Order, yeah. Law and Order.
Oh, he's
it's
okay.
A subdivision
right.
of Homicide.
Subdivision, yeah.
One of the many franchises.
Couplings. I remember they coupled Law and Order and Homicide in like one, two-episode thing one time. It was like Channel 4 of NBC, whatever it was that they did.
Yeah.
They had Belzer's character. They had all these Baltimore guys come to New York to try and find somebody. It was a really weird episode.
I'll tell you honestly, Belzer and his brother, Len, as well, who used to host a radio show, sweetest guys, really just sweet guys. I think we ought to come back and address the elections.
Which ones?
Afghanistan.
Oh, 16, damn.
16, 16, 16 past the hour. Air America Radio. Hey, check us out at morningsedition.com where you can blog, email, and waste lots of time at work looking at our links.
Are you sick and tired of your bathroom scale dictating your mood? If you're down a pound, great day. But watch out if you're up a pound or two or your clothes get a bit tighter. That is not a good day. If this sounds like you, then I urge you to step off the scale and into the Cordis Slim lifestyle by calling 800-921-BURN. You know Cordis Slim people. You run into those Cordis Slim show-offs constantly. You hear how great and physically fit they feel and how they're going shopping for new clothes. Well, Cordis Slim people have learned that at least part of their weight issues are related to stress and hormones. Cordis Slim people don't drive themselves nuts, because they've learned the balance of exercise, nutrition, diet, and supplementation. If you're ready, step off the scale and into the Cordis Slim lifestyle.
Call now and get $20 off when you purchase two bottles of Cordis Slim. $20 off two bottles. That's huge. Call 800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN. That's 800-921-BURN.
Are you making too many trips to the bathroom, have urgency, or reduced sex drive? Super Prostate Formula is clinically proven in a double-blind study to give you relief. We're so confident that Super Prostate Formula works that you can try it free. That's right, free. So call now for your free 30-day trial of Super Prostate Formula and reclaim control. Just pay shipping and handling. Call now, 800-414-2152. 800-414-2152. 800-414-2152.
I'm worried that there are things that are going to burn me.
I had butterflies. I was anxious.
Open house. That's somebody else's job.
I had to constantly be meeting people.
My mom was always on the phone.
I figured I could sell it on my own to save a little bit of money.
Just wacko.
I don't even know enough to know that I don't know.
If you're thinking about selling your home, you need some help. Ask your agent if they're a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
For sale by owner, but not by this owner.
A message from your local, state, and national realtor associations.
We've undertaken the most sweeping reorganization of the federal government since the beginning of the Cold War.
We'll provide frontline defenders with the gear and the communications equipment and the intelligence that they need.
One of the most important steps we've taken is creating the Department of Homeland Security.
And we'll make sure that our public health system is ready for whatever comes its way.
Live presidential debate coverage and reaction Friday night on Sirius Right 142, Left 143, Air America 144, and Sirius NPR Now 106.
Want to get your child fired up about playing a sport? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. My wife taught me that it's not a good idea to push your kids into sports. Instead, do things to get them interested. Take them to a tennis match or a baseball game. Then, give them a book or magazine on the sport. Maybe even check out a video from the library. Get excited about the sport yourself and let them enjoy the overall experience. For ideas on how to keep your kids motivated once they do get involved with sports, go to FamilyMinute.net for a free information sheet. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, familyminute.net. That's familyminute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Ever seen a hornet, Shelly?
No, ma'am.
Oh, well, you're fine. What are you waiting for? They've built a nest outside your window. See?
No.
You will when you climb 15 feet up this ladder to get rid of them. Take this insecticide and broom and send those stinging meanies packing.
What if I fall? I could get hurt.
Oh, you know about gravity already. You're so smart. Oh, go, 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 go. The hornets are waiting.
Wait,
them dear hornets hate high-pitched noises. Try not to swallow too many.
Get away!
Knock that nest out of the park.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
I can't see! Are they biting me?
Oh, that's so cute. No, honey, hornets don't bite, silly. They sting.
Ow! For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
The average parent thinks they're prepared for a medical emergency. They know if their child has allergies or how to call 911. But the average parent doesn't know how to treat severe burns or what to do when a child stops breathing. You can't always prevent emergencies, but you can be better prepared. Call 1-888-ASK-HRSA for more information. That's toll-free, 1-888-ASK-HRSA. Brought to you by the Emergency Medical Services for Children.
Good morning, geniuses.
Yeah.
Philosopher kings.
Yeah.
Working class heroes.
Yeah.
Talk about the issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
Morning Sedition, Air America Radio. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Morning Sedition.
We're fighting for our lives here.
How's everybody out there? Fire truck.
Am I stupid?
No. Right. Like they say uptown, talking more spit than a little bit.
Fire truck.
You're a heartless individual.
Hey, you guys, help me out.
Dog of the week.
Yahtzee.
Oh, yeah.
John Kerry took my shoe.
Forget about it.
Oh, yeah.
Forget about it.
Morning Sedition.
Forget about it.
Morning Sedition.
Yeah.
Let me introduce the people here. Kalo is on the board. Smarty Pants Larson in the booth. Brendan, P.W. McDonald. Dan Pashman, Son of Lewis, and Linda Pashman of New Jersey in the other room. Morning Sedition. Coming in for landing.
Good morning. I'm Wayne.
No. Lord have mercy.
People don't realize that we pulled that from a real Wayne Gelman newscast.
Unedited.
I can't watch it. Wayne, I'm bursting in there. Now, wait a minute.
No, that wasn't it.
So, man, I am, of course, that's the Dan Pashman Morning Sedition mix.
There you go.
I don't know if that's available to the people. 23 past the hour, I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley, if
good
you don't
morning.
Know us. God, I'm just looking at these candidates, and I just don't know who to go with here.
Are you talking about in Afghanistan or here in the States?
We got Karzai. No, I know who to go with here in the States.
Okay.
We got Yunus Kanuni, and we got Abdul Rashid Dostum, a former warlord in the country's civil wars.
Yunus Kanuni?
Yunus Kanuni. Stop it. We can't just make fun of
him. I know, but it sounds like somebody used to host a cartoon show when I was a kid.
Really?
Yunus on what Kanuni.
Planet? Yunus Kanuni?
Planet Riley, of course.
Planet Riley and
yeah,
Riley
man.
World? He is Karzai's former education minister. He's seen as Karzai's strongest rival. He was a senior anti-Taliban Northern Alliance leader. He draws substantial support in the Panjshir Valley, a Northern Alliance stronghold north of Kabul. We're going to talk to Peter Bergen about really what's going on there, because clearly, as we know, the idea when the American military went into Afghanistan, it was not a nation-building journey. It was that we were there to capture or kill Osama bin Laden, which wasn't done. So now, what's left of Afghanistan, which is It's back to its feudal state of, you know, warlord occupation.
And poppy cultivation.
And poppy, more than ever. And Karzai is sort of limited. But the last time we talked to Bergen, he said that things were progressing. But it looked, did you see the cover of the Times yesterday? They were delivering ballot boxes by donkey to a ravine. It doesn't seem to me that they're necessarily ready for elections, considering that, you know, that more than 100,000 Afghan and foreign security forces were on high alert Friday, the day before the country's first election. So that, you know, this is, I guess, today
as we speak,
it's going on. I mean, and people, I mean, oh my God,
look, Karzai hasn't even been able to come out of his castle in Kabul to go campaign anywhere.
Yeah,
you know, he's got, by the way, American guards. One of them apparently slapped one of his government ministers for getting too close the other week.
Well, yeah,
very strange.
There's rocket launchers going on. I'm looking for this piece I had just about how many attacks have been going on. I mean, it's like every other day. You know, people are blowing up. Things are blowing up. I mean, that's not very specific. But it turns out that, okay, here we go. Despite the high hopes of many Afghans, this election in which 18 candidates are running for president and shaping up to be a sham, marked by fraud, corruption, and widespread confusion about how secret balloting works. Nationwide, there's continuing low-level violence of all sorts, from robbery to Taliban attacks. You mean the Taliban that's no longer has any power? Taliban attacks along the Pakistani border to interfactional fighting. Worst of all is the voter intimidation and quotidian terror meted out by warlords known in Dari Pashto as Jang Salaran. We got to ask Bergen about this. So apparently, you know, these former Mujahideen commanders that rule most of Afghanistan through, you know, a bunch of separate little
fiefdoms
and whatnot, you know, they're in control of the drug trade, the smuggling, everything that goes in and out of the country.
Well, ask yourself this question.
Yeah.
If they're in control of what comes in and out of the country, if they're in control of the drug trade, why would anybody think they wouldn't be in control of the election?
Well, of course, but the idea is, like, here in a free country, there's confusion about elections, about how voting machines work. This is a completely new system to these people who are relatively primitive, you know, in terms of how they operate politically and how they manage their country. I mean, it's ridiculous. Oh, here it is. Over the summer, there were 21 attacks on election workers. My God. I mean, that's not just, you know, that's not purging voter rolls. That's like, yo, dude. You know, I mean, come on, man.
40 NGO employees have been killed, and a lot of those were working on the elections.
Well, I guess really the question for Bergen is that, you know, is this something that's being forced now in order to, you know, for Bush to claim some success in this region, which I don't think he can claim, only because, you know, the mission was not accomplished. Osama bin Laden is still at large. You know, a lot of people are anticipating an October surprise. Let's ask Bergen about that, too.
Well, we got to ask him about that. But remember, Mark, that over the last few days, the Bush-Cheney campaign has emphasized, you know, the election to the exclusion of the capture of Osama. They don't talk about bin Laden anymore. They talk about how they've democratized Afghanistan. We'll see.
I'll be honest with you. I hope it gets to the point where even if they do have him on ICE or they know where he is or they're doing this thing where they're going to, you know, tip him, you know, a few days before the election, I hope that it's so bad for Bush at that time that not even that will be enough.
I don't think it's going to be enough. I don't think that these elections, and look, I believe, I'm a small D Democrat, okay? Mm-hmm. I believe in popular rule, popular voting, but you've got to lay the groundwork, and it hasn't been done in this case. Coming up, the presidential palm pilot, author Peter Bergen, live from Afghanistan, and the all-important liberal agenda from the Streisand compound when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Why shop a going out of business sale? During Levitt's Labor Day kickoff sale, you'll find unprecedented values. There are leather sofas starting at $5.99. That's 40% off the regular price. Sofas starting at $2.99. That's 50% off. Beds starting at $1.99. That's 60% off. And on top of that, there's no payments or interest till 2006. Plus, Levitt's will deliver all in-stock furniture in 1 week. And don't forget about Levitt's biggest mattress event of the year with savings of up to $600. Levitt's is kicking off Labor Day this weekend. Shop today, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and special store hours tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Levitt's, 94 years and stronger than ever.
$1,700 minimum purchase required on Levitt's preferred customer card August 31st through September 4th to qualify for finance offer. Subject to credit approval. Accrued interest credited paid in full by the promotional expiration date as indicated on your monthly billing statement. 24% APR standard rate, 26% default rate. See store for details.
Join us October 11th for the Vote for Change concert live from D.C. with Springsteen, R.E.M., the Dixie Chicks, the Dave Matthews Band, John Mellencamp, and a slew of others. It's 4 hours of great music and a chance to show your support for John Kerry. Well, if you're a righty, turn it up for the music and just turn it down between the songs. The Vote for Change concert, Monday the 11th at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Spectrum 18.
This is Earth and Sky with a question from a listener in Poughkeepsie, New York. She writes, how keen is a bird's sense of smell?
Most birds don't have a sense of smell. The part of the brain that controls smell is known as the olfactory lobe, and in birds, this part is greatly reduced. It's possible that a sense of smell withered away in birds because of the demands of flight. The process of natural selection might have favored birds with lighter brains for better aerodynamics.
For most birds, vision and hearing are the most important senses. Birds have sharp eyesight, and their eyes can dart quickly to spot food or predators. And since birds sing, they need keen hearing to detect the subtleties of songs and calls. But although most birds lack a sense of smell, there are some exceptions. For example, carrion eaters, like the turkey vulture, sniff around for their supper. And there's some evidence that certain seabirds can smell their colonies and may follow their beaks to find their breeding islands.
Since most birds have no sense of smell, there's no basis to the common belief that if you touch a baby bird, the mother won't take it back because she can tell you've handled it. This rumor was probably started by well-meaning parents. If you find a baby bird on the ground and it's healthy, go ahead, pick it up and put it back in its nest. Ask us your question at earthsky.org. With thanks to the National Science Foundation, we're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Optimist volunteers serve as leaders, mentors, and friends to help kids achieve a more positive and productive life in 3,600 communities and 19 countries. This year, Optimists will raise and invest over $80 million in 60,000 community service projects that help 6 million children and teens. Optimists have been bringing out the best in kids for nearly 100 years. For the location of your nearest Optimist Club, call 1-800-500-8130.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
Today, Kyle and his big brother Justin,
hello,
hi,
are here to share some stuff we've learned.
With kids, it's not always what you say, but how you say it.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Nah, that's boring.
Okay.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
From time to time, a kid may double dare you.
Wow, that looks heavy. Bet you can't lift it.
Are you serious?
I double dare you.
Okay.
See? I told you. Uh-oh.
Moments like these happen every day.
Making a big difference in the life of a child. To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Until next time.
When is the right time to start talking with children about marijuana? Before they see or hear any pro-use messages or images. Before anyone their age has used it. Before anyone encourages them to try it. Before it becomes their first step towards substance abuse, school problems, health and safety risks, and illegal activity. Reality check. It's never too soon to talk to your kids about marijuana. For tips on getting started, call 1-800-729-6686.
Three, four past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hey!
On Morning Sedition. I don't want to leave anybody hanging out there, so I want to throw this in.
You've been blog looking again, haven't you?
No.
Yeah. No? Okay. No. All right, I'll take that.
No, I haven't. I just, I didn't want to leave anybody. Yes, of course I have. You know, we get these longer breaks now, so, why not have a look around, do a little research. Don't want to leave anybody hanging.
Right now, one of my favorite guests, because I love his book. Oh, yeah. Let's see the
Pilot
first.
Oh, yeah. Ramon first.
But the weird thing is that, you know, two things just happened in my head. While the listeners don't realize what goes on in my head sometimes with these headphones. I introduced a guest that we don't have on the phone yet, and I forgot to do a comedy bit to appease somebody on the blog. To appease one person, I threw off my entire momentum. That's the weird thing about the blog and the email. It gives you the impression that, you know, like, oh, my God, these are the people. These are the people that, you know, this is how I know whether or not I'm doing a good job. And then it's like you count the names. It's like, because of these 16 people, you know,
I now
this is
know
how I will guide my sensibility in my life. Because of these 16 people represent the bulk of the people that listen to me. The weird thing is Ramon didn't deliver this, and I don't know where Ramon is, but it was some girl. Some
really?
Woman. Yeah. And she looked, you know, out of it. But she got us to Palm Pilot. Here
was
we go.
Was she cute? Oh, never mind.
She might have been in another time, but she just looked like she, you know, I don't know what she's been doing. But 4 a.m., debate day. Wake up in St. Louis in a cold sweat. Note, must score Coke, must score Coke, must score Coke. Call Ramon. That might be where he is.
Bingo.
4:30 a.m., call Ramon again. Note, where the hell is he? How are people supposed to score Coke in the Midwest? How long would it take Air Force One to go to Miami? 6 a.m., dangle carry debate dummy off balcony. Need confidence builder. 7 a.m., wake economic advisor. See if it's too late to buy every voter a car. 8 a.m., Ramon finally comes. Thank you, Jesus. 9 a.m., party! No, what do I have to worry about? I'm the greatest president of all time. Everybody loves me. Thank you, Ramon. Woohoo! Hail to the chief! 11 a.m., curl up in a corner. Weep. Note, I can't do this. I got nothing. There's no WMDs. The polls are down. I screwed up the last one. Kerry's a much better debater than I am. Cheney won't take my calls. Everyone knows about the earpiece. Everyone knows about the earpiece. I'm screwed. I'm screwed. 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 12 to 7 p.m. Stare out window at the hotel at nothing. Note, what does it all mean? No one knows the real me. I just wanted to run a baseball team. I never wanted this. Dad wanted this. It's always about making Dad happy. Let Jeb do it. 7:30 p.m. Meeting with Cheney. His advice, pull yourself together, you stupid hick. We didn't waste billions on you so you could bail out now. Remember, we could take you out any time, and I don't mean the race, buddy. So get dressed, you stupid blow monkey. 9 p.m. Debate. Be prepared to go to aide hands me piece of paper and I have to go now scenario. National security can't talk about it. Gotta run. Gotta go do something presidential. 11 p.m. bedtime. Note. Well, I still got one friend left. Hello, Ramon. All right, man. So, you know, that happened.
Yes. To coin a phrase. Now, you know, it's funny, Mark, when you start looking at, I just had an epiphany while you were doing the president's schedule. Because at a point, the construction of an alternate reality that the Bush-Cheney campaign has obviously done, the economy's going great, things in Afghanistan are going great, things in Iraq are going great, I've suddenly realized that that's exactly what wrestling does. It creates an alternate reality. Mick Foley, for example.
That 50% of the people believe, apparently.
Yeah, that a good number of people believe.
Isn't that bizarre?
It is. And, you know, maybe I wouldn't want to say that Bush took his template from the WWE, but when you start realizing that they create this reality, and at a point they don't really care whether you believe it or not as long as you pay your money to see it or consume it.
Yeah.
But the other side of the equation is, maybe they did take a look at what Vince McMahon has been doing all these years before they went out there.
Repetition.
Yeah.
He's going down. I'm going to take him down. He's got no chance tonight. weren't any WMDs. We did the right thing.
Yep.
All right. Let's cut right to this. The author of Holy War Incorporated, the elections are going to be held in Afghanistan for the first time ever. CNN terrorism analyst. And writer, as I said, of Holy War Incorporated, one of my favorite books on the subject. Peter Bergen is with us. Good morning, Peter. What's the mood like in Afghanistan?
Hey.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm on an Afghan cell phone, so some of this, I hope that you can hear all of this. I think there's been some violence, but it's not been particularly much. There was a good attack last night near the U.S. Embassy, but it didn't kill anybody, no casualties. Also an attempt on the vice presidential candidate on Wednesday, which killed seven Afghan policemen. But the violence has been sporadic and pretty ineffectual, and I think the mood is pretty upbeat and positive about the elections that are going to happen tomorrow.
Well, it sounds like democracy is working.
Yeah, you know, this is not going to be a perfect election, you know, I think it's going to be a reasonably okay election.
Yeah.
Clearly, Karzai is the favorite here, and I anticipate that he'll be elected in something close to a landslide.
So it's either going to be in a landslide or a just an old school assassination of the other guy, maybe. All right. Well, I mean, so the thing is like what I want to ask you is that there are so many candidates. Is there campaigning going on there? It seems there's an ex-warlord running. There's a woman running. Are the other candidates getting attention? Is there a message getting out? How does that all work there right now?
There really hasn't been a huge amount of campaigning. In fact, there is a sort of 48-hour blackout on campaigning right now. The campaigning that has happened, it's hardly like an American campaign, which, you know, starts as much as 2 years before the actual event. You know, there's some posters up. Karzai has made some trips around the country. There's really one other significant candidate, who's a former education minister, Kanuni, who has also been doing some campaigning. There were 18 presidential candidates, including one woman. That number has dropped. The number of people have dropped out of the race and basically put their have basically said they're going to endorse Karzai. So the number of candidates is actually decreasing now that the election is 24 hours away.
Peter Bergen, is secret balloting, the concept of secret balloting, a new concept for most Afghans? Are they having difficulty dealing with the concept itself?
I mean, I think the whole thing is entirely new, every aspect of it. I mean, this is the first election in Afghan history, and the population is largely illiterate. So there's been, you know, a lot of education of voters that has happened via radio, which is the main kind of way that Afghans get their news. The UN has been doing a fairly good job of trying to educate people. But, you know, clearly this will be... it won't be exactly like a typical American election. On the other hand, this is the first election they've ever had.
Well, let's be honest here, Peter. That most of the people can't read. They're being shot at the polls. Election officials are being killed. I mean, is this a legitimate election on any level outside of just the idea that people are seeing something new?
I think it will be a legitimate election. Let me tell you why. Obviously, you know, the enemy of the perfect is not the reasonably okay, and I don't think anybody was expecting this was going to be perfect.
Right.
But I think that the violence has been sporadic. People have registered at, you know, unprecedented levels, far above expectations. More than 10 million people have registered, and
wow.
In fact, 45 of them are women. So I think...
Oh, whoops!
Apparently, you know...
Those tricky Afghan cell phones.
Somebody, you know, in the basement of the Pentagon going, I don't like where this is going. we've been watching this guy Bergen for a long time, and it seems like he's tipping here.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to get him back. But, I mean, it's interesting that he's saying he expects most of the people who registered, it's 10 million, which is a pretty high number, to actually turn out and vote, despite some of the intimidation. But the central question, and maybe we'll get a chance to talk to him about this if we can get him back, mm-hmm. is whether or not whoever wins this, and let's assume it's Karzai, can he successfully go after both the warlords, poppy distributors, as it were, and can he, keep the remnants of the Taliban from, capturing more ground inside the country? Remember,
yeah.
A lot of people figure Karzai is the mayor of Kabul and
yeah.
little else.
Well, it sounds like 10 million, that's a lot of people to mobilize, you know, and a lot of people that are really, you know, excited about the idea of democracy there. And this, Bergen is really the guy on Afghanistan. He loves the place. He knows it better than anybody else, you know. And, you know, what he's saying, I believe to be true. To me, it sounds a little optimistic, but... again, that, you know, I think he's reporting it as it is, and hopefully we'll get him back on the phone. It's 44 past the hour, Air America Radio. I got an idea. Just a reminder, I don't want to pressure you, but you got to do this soon, all right? Register to vote, please. You can do it on morningsedition.com where it says register to vote. Thank you.
Mr. President, are you familiar with ShirtSoGood.com?
I deal with them all the time.
Are you aware that ShirtSoGood.com offers over 24 original t-shirt and button designs critical of you and your administration?
I know that.
One t-shirt states that you are a miserable failure, while another claims that our bombs are smarter than our president.
Strongly disagree with that.
Another ShirtSoGood.com design urges citizens to vote no W, while another calls you a punk-ass chip.
I know how these people think.
And how do you feel about that? It's time to get your message heard. You've got to say it, and you've got to wear it. ShirtSoGood.com t-shirts and buttons have been sent all over the world.
Great Britain, Australia, and the United States.
Well, actually, forgot Poland.
Anywhere else, Mr. President?
Jakarta.
Another?
Japan.
Perhaps another country that starts with J.
Jerusalem.
ShirtSoGood.com buttons and t-shirts.
At the price they can afford.
Thank you, Mr. Bush.
Your country thanks you.
Attention smokers, find out how to get 2 free cartons of your preferred brand of cigarettes. That's right, the makers of Smoke Free and 3 are so confident you will finally quit smoking that they'll buy your next 2 cartons for you if you don't quit. Never again will you have smoke-filled clothes, bad breath, or jeopardize the health of your loved ones. Just listen to these ex-smokers.
I've been smoking a carton of cigarettes per week as long as I can remember. The very first day I started the Smoke Free and 3 system, I quit.
This is Shelly, and my cravings have decreased. I'm calmer, less irritable, and I've been smoke-free for a month now.
This system really surprised me on how effectively and quickly it worked.
Smoke Free and 3 is strong against cravings mentally and physically, so you can stop for good. No stress, no jitters, no anxiety, and no more money wasted on cigarettes.
Call now for your trial of Smoke Free and 3 at 1-800-304-1766. Stop smoking in just days, guaranteed. 800-304-1766. If you don't stop, we'll send you $100 to buy your next 2 cartons. Call 1-800-304-1766. That's 1-800-304-1766.
For the next few weeks, every water cooler conversation's gonna be about the election. Even though you're Mr. or Ms. Liberal, don't let Mary from accounting blindside you with her Republican diatribe.
Mary from accounting.
Get the facts and get the feel for what the right is saying. Laura Ingraham, she's savvy.
Savvy.
She's sharp, even though she swings to the other side.
Laura.
9 a.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific.
Ingraham.
On Sirius Patriot 141.
How does arguing with your spouse affect your kids? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Some family experts say that lots of arguing results in more aggression between kids. But there's an upside to observing conflict between parents. When you handle it properly, kids can learn how to discuss problems and how to resolve them. And they can see that relationships and family life improve as a result. So, it's okay to disagree openly and calmly with your spouse, as long as you respect and listen to one another. Focus on working toward a solution and not letting anger get the better of you. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Here's the 2-1. Swing and a long one!
Hi, I'm Barry Bonds for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. In my league, we hit home runs without a designated hitter. But if you want to get home safe, there should always be a designated driver. So when you're with someone who is drinking, please take their keys. Call a cab or drive them home yourself, because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
I started hearing voices telling me, "You're dying, you're dying." I couldn't make them stop. My heart kept speeding up and slowing down. Now I feel paranoid all the time, and I can't tell what is real and what isn't. I'm on medication, but it doesn't help. Sometimes I believe I'm already dead and in hell.
Unfortunately, this 19-year-old learned that happiness and a heightened sense of touch aren't the only side effects of ecstasy. Leave ecstasy alone. To learn how or to read other real-life ecstasy tragedies, visit drugfreeamerica.org.
So, what do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be an optimist.
A what?
An optimist. My dad is one, and he says optimists help kids. He says they have all sorts of activities and programs for kids. Things that help kids feel good about themselves. Dad says they have sports programs, safety programs, and things that are just fun. So, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Well, I kind of wanted to be a rock star, but now I think I might want to be an optimist too.
always makes me nervous when we lose the connection with somebody in Afghanistan or Iraq, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
But we haven't been able to get back with Peter Bergen on that cell phone in Afghanistan. It's 50 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
He pops back up. You know, we'll start talking to him again. It sounds a little chaotic over there, but Bergen sounded hopeful. I really wanted to talk to him about Osama because he was one of the few journalists, Western journalist who actually interviewed Osama bin Laden. The book that he wrote, Holy War Incorporated, is a fascinating a book that really explains how al-Qaeda is organized and how it came about. If you read that in collusion, is that the right word? In collusion with the terror timeline? In cohesion? In confusion?
In confusion with.
If you read some of these books, like if you read Richard Clark and you read... Holy War Incorporated, and you have the terror timeline, Paul Thompson's
book. In conjunction with,
as if you have the terror timeline as a point of reference for all books written about 9/11 or referring to al-Qaeda, you can get a pretty broad scope of what's really going on. And in Iraq, that's a whole other thing. But what's going on now in Iraq is a certain amount of chaos, but now, you know, Bush and company, the smug, belligerent, arrogant, fake Christian, AWOL, blow monkey puppet of the Cheney regime's neocon death cult is in a corner. He's in a corner, and it's a beautiful thing to me because I think that Kerry, you know, has found the angle, and he's speaking for most of the country when he says you're out of touch, and now with this, the Dulfer. Sorry, I keep confusing, genocide.
A guy with the Sudan, yeah.
And an intelligence report. But, concludes, and it's, you know, and they've got to cop to it, and they're copping to it in a lot of different faces that, you know, there were no weapons of mass destruction, and now they're trying to spin their argument for going in to this, the sanctions and the oil for food.
Well, they're getting into this wrestling thing. They, you know, just like pull a reason, any reason. They don't have weapons of mass destruction anymore. They can always say Saddam Hussein was a bad guy, but they know that really doesn't have a lot of traction because America has supported more bad guys on this planet over time than most other democracies. And now they're getting to, well, Saddam was subverting the oil for food program because he wanted to get around the sanctions because he wanted to get the weapons. That's an amazing spin.
It's spin, it's defensive, it's nothing, it's empty, you know, and Kerry shot back at him. You know, when we come, you know, over the top of the hour, we're going to, you know, next hour, we're going to get into a little of the sound, of Kerry talking and Bush talking. And this is obviously going to be a big point of tonight's debate. I am thrilled about tonight's debate because, you know, after the last performance, and a lot of these sort of liberal, progressive, conspiratorial media are, you know, sitting around festering over pictures of Bush's back as to whether or not he had an earpiece or if he did or he didn't have an earpiece. Well, you know, it's like he lost. If he had an earpiece, it didn't help him. And if he's that stupid and he can't handle it, you know, it would just confuse him. I mean, whether he had an earpiece or not is not the issue. Is that he lost the debate. This is an administration that's on the defensive. It's an administration that's cornered. And they, you know, in this retort, I mean, this was just genius to me. Let me just find it here. Yeah, when Bush responded to by lashing out at Kerry, where the hell is that? Here we go.
Which time? Pick one.
Well, there was just something very specific. Oh, man. Talk for a minute, Mark.
Well, look, here's the thing. It won't matter if George W. Bush had a pair of Sennheisers over his head and Jonathan Larson in his ear at the debate.
Here it is. He's claiming, this is President Bush, and I think we actually have this in the sounding, but I'm all confused now. Here we go. Can we hear number one, Chris? All right. Okay, maybe we will.
He's claiming I misled America about weapons when he himself cited the very same intelligence about Saddam's weapons programs as the reason he voted to go to war.
Look, this is unbelievable to me because he's the president of the United States. It came out of his administration. It was intelligence sanctioned by him. And he's the president, you know, accusing a senator who's running for president of basing his opinion on the same intelligence that he gave him. But John Kerry didn't take the world to war over crappy intelligence that he decided to use and he coerced out of the CIA.
Well, see, what he did was start out by saying, to go to war. That's not what John Kerry voted for. What he voted for was giving the president authorization for a military incursion in the event that Saddam continued to refuse
right.
to concede to the UN resolutions.
Right.
And if the UN Security Council cleared it. Neither of which actually took place.
But to me, just that this is a president saying this to a guy who he's running against. This is an incumbent president. That's what you call him.
Yeah.
Right? That, and he's saying this to a senator who's running against him in a presidential campaign. That he's basically, it's so convoluted to me that he's saying he's detaching him. This is completely surrealistic world. He's detaching himself from the intelligence that came out of his administration to blame the guy he's running against for making a decision to vote for him, to give him the power to go to war if he has to.
But see, the intelligence was Bill Clinton's fault because George Tenet, the head of the CIA, was a Clinton appointee. That's how Bush's people will try to spin all
this. There's no way that's going to work now. There's just
no way. Well, it's not going to work. Tonight's debate will be a massacre that way.
I've not heard Clinton's name mentioned lately once. I mean, I just think we're past that in the sense that, you know, that Tenet clearly was bullied by this administration to give a certain type of intelligence to allow them to go to Iraq. Everybody knows that. That's inarguable. And I can only assume that the people they're talking to are bunch of, you know, sort of uneducated, narrow-minded, you know, fanboys who, you know, will not hear any truth. They will be as stubborn as this president. This president, he doesn't flip-flop. What he does is he has different members of his administration and lackeys that come out and just sort of disperse contradicting information. And the president will stay steadfast in the face of reality, science, truth. He will not change his mind. It used to be you'd call people like that a moron.
But see, the problem is that there are a substantial number, not a majority, I think, but a substantial number of Americans who will not question their president on these kinds of issues. There is a mentality in this country, Mark, that says you don't question the president when that president decides to go to war. That once that decision is made, you have to back the president because, after all, he's the president. George W. Bush, if he has no other effect on the American people, may shatter once and for all that mindset.
But, you know, it's like that. Well, this is the whole argument, you know, the argument between like these ridiculous swift boat guys. It's like, didn't we learn anything from Vietnam? Didn't the American people learn anything? How deep does the denial have to be before they realize that they have a part in this democratic process? You don't have to believe all these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Am I crazy?
No.
Here's the liberal agenda from the Barbra Streisand compound. Write these down. Post sign at entrance to debate hall. No shirt, no shoes, no weapons of mass destruction. Two, in addition to debate audience passing through a metal detector, make them also pass through PETA-approved fur detectors. Three, propose new debate rules. 90-second response, 60-second rebuttal, 30-second interpretive dance of answer. Four, urge each candidate to bring on stage their inner-city debate little brother.
Oh, yeah.
Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. Bush doesn't have an earpiece, man. Rove talks to him through the fillings in his teeth. Why is that so hard for everyone to understand, man?
You know, you're starting to scare me a little.
I know, I'm starting to scare
you. No, you know why you're scaring me?
Why?
Because that interpretive dance thing I actually thought about yesterday.
So you're starting to scare you.
Yeah, I am. In the next hour of Morning Sedition, Mark Maron's Dream Diary, Georgia Congresswoman Denise Majette on her run for the Senate, Rapture Watch, and the Dog of the Week, all on Air America Radio.
You love the game. You love your team. And you love your friends and family. So to get home safely, you hand off your keys to a sober designated driver. America's all-star team of sports leagues, stadium service partners, brewers, broadcasters, and traffic safety experts thank the sober designated drivers who make sure you buckle up and get home safely. For more information on techniques for effective alcohol management, visit www.teamcoalition.org.
The 2000 presidential election was decided by only 537 votes. On November 2nd, your vote can make a tremendous difference. Take the first step to ensure that your voice is heard. Register. JustVote.org is a nonprofit organization where you can register online quickly and easily. Go to JustVote.org, enter your zip code, and follow the simple instructions. You can also find your local polling place, tell a friend about JustVote.org, and donate money to help get more people registered. It's your democracy. Make it work. JustVote.org.
Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Uncut.
Uncut.
Satellite Fresh.
Satellite Fresh.
Serious. It's on.
Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. President Bush and Vice President Cheney yesterday conceded in the clearest terms that Saddam Hussein had no weapons of mass destruction. It was their response to the final report on Iraq by hand-picked inspector Charles Dulfer. In fact, Vice President Cheney considered the WMD issue as old news. Despite this, both still contend there was evidence in Saddam Hussein's file to justify staging war with Iraq. John Kerry had this response to the apparent White House refusal to let the issue go.
So how does President Bush respond? Does he take responsibility for his mistakes? Does he recognize publicly how bad the situation is and lead the way a leader should lead? Of course not.
And Kerry made clear that the president and vice president are totally out of touch with reality.
The President of the United States and the Vice President of the United States may well be the last two people on the planet who won't face the truth about Iraq.
John Kerry on the campaign trail yesterday in Colorado. Pentagon planners and military commanders have put together a plan to take out some 20 to 30 Iraqi towns now under the control of the insurgents. U.S. military maintains the localities must be brought under government control before the January elections. The military planners are trying to decide which towns will be early priorities. This is apart from the recent spate of raids on Iraqi towns killing an untold number of Iraqi citizens. Despite the latest scheme to rein in terror, some Bush administration figures admit the American forces face an extraordinarily difficult task and that success is far from guaranteed. An explosion ripped through a resort hotel last night in Egypt, where a number of Israelis had been vacationing at the end of the Jewish holidays. The blast killed some 30 people and wounded more than 100. Two smaller blasts were recorded shortly after at other tourist sites in Egypt's Sinai Peninsula. Eyewitnesses had initially given unconfirmed reports that car bombs caused all three blasts. First explosion rocked the Hilton Hotel in Taba Resort area, only yards away from the Israeli border. Israeli security officials say they are convinced it was a car bomb that set off the blast. The front of the entire hotel had collapsed. Senior American official yesterday gave the first indication that the Bush administration is concerned by recent remarks by an Israeli government official that Israel plans to freeze the peace process with the Palestinians after withdrawing from Gaza. Bush administration had publicly expressed confidence that the nation's Prime Minister Ariel Sharon had planned to advance the peace process. Privately, American diplomats are concerned about the Sharon government's latest stance on the peace initiative. And more than 100,000 Afghan and foreign security forces are on high alert the day before the country's first direct presidential election. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Now serving for the match, it's Jimmy Wang. Serves to Lee. Wang. Lee. Backhand by Wang. Lee. Wang, with a tremendous forehand, wins the World Series of Ping Pong. There's the World Series, and then there's the World Series. The season wraps up. For some, it's going to be a long, cold winter, but one team will call themselves world champs. The season wraps up on ESPN Radio, Sirius 120. Go to Sirius.com for the game broadcast schedule.
This is Earth and Sky. At the Miami Museum of Science and Planetarium, we got this question.
My name is Reina Mendez. I'm from Mexico. My question is, which star is the smallest?
Reina, it depends on whether you mean stars in the prime of life or dead stars. Some supernova explosions leave behind tiny neutron stars, thought to average about 20 kilometers or 12 miles in diameter. When stars like our sun die, they leave behind objects called white dwarfs. The smallest white dwarf known is LHS 4033, thought to be 5,000 kilometers, about 3,000 miles across.
Now consider low-mass stars still in the prime of life. Astronomers call them red dwarfs, stars with no more than half the mass of our sun. 70% of stars in our galaxy may be red dwarfs, 20 for every sun-like star. Some astronomers are actively searching for low-mass stars. The program is called RECONS, Research Consortium on Nearby Stars. The search is difficult because these stars are so faint. They might find one or two red dwarfs near the sun every year.
One candidate for the smallest red dwarf lies about 16 light-years away. It's called LP944-20, and it's 120,000 kilometers, or about 75,000 miles, across. Thanks for your question, Raina, and with thanks to the National Science Foundation, we're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. Man, you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! Ah, that's the battle cry of a lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those hedges?
Dad, please!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from...
The cat!
The cat! Oh, and the neighbor's new car!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop!
Come back here. You can do the neighbor's shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
That's right, here comes fire truck John Kerry to save the day tonight. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings, fire truck, working class heroes, pole junkies, man children. Women, girls, we had a debate here in the studio. Important stuff going on here in the studio while you were busy talking to each other or getting ready for work. We are working at the big issues. The big work is being done here. Dan Pashman has a stance that I'm not sure I agree with, yet he will defend it. We were discussing what we were going to have for breakfast, and the idea of the omelet came up, and then there was a cheese problem where Dan said that the place that we usually, Dan Pashman, son of Louis and Linda Pashman of New Jersey, sorry. You want to say hi to your grandmother in Boston?
Hi, Grandma.
Okay, very good. So here's the issue. And I know we should be talking about the issues, but here's the issue with Dan Pashman. He's got a cheese problem. He says that the place that we get our breakfast doesn't always have such good cheese. And this is a guy that says, I don't want a Philly cheesesteak sandwich if it has cheese was on it, which is the standard. This is the invention of the Philly cheesesteak sandwich, is the cheese whiz.
What, Velveeta?
No, it isn't. Cheese whiz.
All right, cheese whiz, that's even worse. No, the invention of the Philly cheesesteak is to put slices of cheese on top of the burning steak and let it melt on the top.
No.
According to Pat, who was supposedly invented the cheesesteak,
that's a load, too. Black people invented the cheesesteak. You didn't know that?
Well, black people invented everything.
That's right. Thank you.
The first person was black. All music is black.
That's right.
And the cheesesteak.
Rock and roll was black.
Yes, we understand.
Okay, thank you. And the Philly cheesesteak was black.
We'll get little Richard on the phone. You're damn right! So now, but here's it gets larger, because we went with Dan Pashman to the Philly cheesesteak place, Pat, and it was good, but he said, well, if that's all that city has to offer, then I'm not down with it. But then it became a bigger problem about bread.
Well, this is something I feel very strongly about, Mark, and I am a bit of a sandwich connoisseur, I'll be honest with you. I've put a lot of study and research and thought into the creation and manufacture of sandwiches.
Yes.
And I'm quite confident that you already have an inferior sandwich before you're taking a bite. If you have hot things on the inside with cold bread on the outside, if you're going to have hot eggs and cheese or a burger or a hot dog or anything, whatever you're doing, You got to heat the bread.
Back up, back up. This is crazy. You're talking crazy because you're denying the power of fresh bread. If you have a fresh roll, all right, that's really nice and fresh and soft, like a bulky roll, as they call them in Boston, or whatever they call them here.
Kaiser.
A Kaiser roll, yeah. Right. That, and you put the egg sandwich on that. You're toasting a Kaiser roll that's really fresh, just it makes it's wrong. I think you're wrong here.
I understand what you're saying, and I will grant you that in a situation where you have a small amount of bread and a large amount of hot filling, such as your corned beef example.
That was an example the listeners didn't hear.
Fresh rye bread.
Let's say you go to the Carnegie Deli and you order a hot corned beef sandwich with Swiss cheese. The corned beef comes out of the steam plate, out of the steam table. You slice it up hot. You put the cheese on it. It melts itself.
I understand.
And then you put it on a fresh piece of rye bread.
But if you're talking about one scrambled egg and one slice of cheese and a big, fat, bulky roll where your sandwich is like 80% bread, if that bread is not heated, then it's not a good sandwich.
The bulky roll squishes up. Like, it gets all soft and meets the egg and cheese. It meets it. Do you understand? If you have a little toasted crust, because you grill a bulky roll, there's no saying it doesn't just turn hard and brown.
Yeah.
You know, I've been there, and it dries it out. You can microwave it.
It doesn't even have to be hot.
No, you can't microwave anything.
You
call yourself a sandwich connoisseur, and you use the word microwave? What's up with you?
I would not microwave. I would toast it. I'm saying if you want to maintain the squishiness, I agree. I would never microwave bread.
No, you can't microwave almost anything. There's nothing that you microwave unless you have to.
That's right.
A microwave is an emergency situation because if you microwave anything, it just turns into hard crap. Something goes wrong with it. Microwaves screw with food on a molecular level.
Look,
it ruins it.
You guys come to my house. I'll cook you a Dan Pashman patented grilled egg and cheese sandwich, and
I'm sure it would be good, Dan Pashman. But what I'm saying to you is you started this argument with this, like, blanket statement that you cannot have hot stuff on a cold bread, and you've made a concession.
The only concession I'll give you is corned beef, and that's because there's so much corned beef and so little bread that it will warm the bread while keeping it fresh, but that won't happen in most sandwich ratios.
See how people just naturally spin? It's not just a Republican thing. You see what's happened here? Is that we started off with a declarative statement, and by the end, there's he's made concessions, but he's explained those too, like he thought of them originally.
Well, I blame the oil for food problem.
There you go. That's exactly what I was getting ready to say. The oil for food is the real problem here.
Yeah, obviously that's the real problem. But you wait. You know, next week, you know, Bush is going to be like, well, you know, Iraqi food is bad. And I think we had to save the people from the Iraqi food problem.
That's why we had to go in.
Yeah.
Because they were serving cold bread with hot food inside.
Yeah.
That's no good.
All right, man. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks, guys.
Are you going to go get some sandwiches?
Yeah, I'll get some in for you.
Friday, Dan's going to help us out.
Yahtzee.
Not even his job is going to help us out.
But I'm warning you, Kalo, the cheese on those omelets is wanting.
I don't want that. I just want coffee.
Do they have cheddar?
I just want.
It's like cheese food.
Oh man,
you know, cheese food spices.
There are people out in our audience seething. Why don't they talk about the issue? Who cares about cheese in New York City? I thought this was liberal radio. What is this? This isn't. They're not even talking about vaginas. They're talking about cheese.
Hey,
this
wait a minute.
Worse.
Our listeners in Madison have an interest in this. All right. Let's be real.
See,
all right, this is Wisconsin.
We are spin masters.
That's right.
Yeah, we're playing to a niche market.
I invented a cheese-related dish in Wisconsin.
Oh my god! This is like going to turn into the Pashman Food Show. What?
Well, the Food Network.
I call it Eggs Sheboygan, and after Sheboygan, Wisconsin, you take eggs, you scramble them with Wisconsin cheddar cheese curds and Wisconsin summer sausage.
I am so glad you have a job, because clearly there was a point in your life where you had so much free time.
Yeah, really.
That you were inventing. If anybody wants, you know what, I'll tell you what, after you help us out and get us something from food, which is a wonderful thing that you do occasionally for us, why don't you start a little thing on the website with Dan's recipes, right? And put that next to Dan's picks.
Passion's picks.
All right, man.
That is on the website, though, right? We want to make sure we lead people over
In the recommended link section.
There you go.
Thank you, Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman. So now that we've introed and set the tone for the debate, I want to say before we get into this is that I did Bell's show last night over at Caroline's, and a cat comes up to me, an English guy. It's like, yeah, brilliant, man. We love you. You know, he used some great words, some English slang words like ballsy, and I don't know. But he's like, we listen to you in Newcastle, all of us. And I'm like, Newcastle? Because I thought he was just like, yeah, Kerry, you know, I thought, you know, Kerry's going to win. He's like, no, they're listening to
us. Not Newcastle, Delaware, England.
They're listening to us in England, and apparently quite a few people up there.
Hey, listen, so Newcastle, you're wonderful people, but I'm an Arsenal fan. And by the way, I want to thank the guy from Chicago, Mr. Torres, who sent me an Arsenal T-shirt in the mail.
Oh, that's very nice.
That's right. That I follow British football.
Yeah, I don't, but I enjoy being liked.
You don't follow American football.
Dude, I am like, that's why, you know why I can't handle it?
What?
I can't handle sports because exactly the same reason I'm having a meltdown over this election. It's just like, I cannot wait. I need, the gratification takes too damn long. And, you know, and I can't get all hung up with guys and numbers and, you know, who's doing what on what team. I don't know what it is, but, you know, I'm not the guy to watch sports with because I don't have any team affiliation. I'm just like, hey, he hit it. Yay. That was a good one, right? You know, I played a little baseball when I was younger, but I've told that story before. I took a ball in the face in center field, which is, you know, says to me, like, maybe this isn't your future. If you're catching balls in the face in center field and you got that much time to look at it. I've told that story. I don't want to tell it again.
You know what you'd hate? Absolutely hate?
What?
Cricket. If they took you to a cricket match, you'd go mad. Absolutely stark, because it takes forever.
But it's a very small ball, isn't it?
It's a small ball, but it like takes 3 days to play the match.
It's like, here, I try to watch hockey. I'm like, where's the thing?
what are you swinging at over there?
I mean, where was it? Did it just go in? I can't follow it. I don't know. Maybe I'm not the right kind of man.
Well,
I'm not a sportsman. My brother was a tennis jock for years. So we're going to get into this debate. We're going to get into the pre-debate, what we think is going to be talked about, and sort of exchange they had yesterday, and we're just going to listen to some Kerry and some Bush, and we're going to talk some more, Mark, after this right here on Air America Radio.
Why shop a going out of business sale? During Levitt's Labor Day kickoff sale, you'll find unprecedented values. There are leather sofas starting at $5.99. That's 40% off the regular price. Sofas starting at $2.99. That's 50% off. Beds starting at $1.99. That's 60% off. And on top of that, there's no payments or interest till 2006. Plus, Levitt's will deliver all in-stock furniture in 1 week. And don't forget about Levitt's biggest mattress event of the year, with savings of up to $600. Levitt's is kicking off Labor Day this weekend. Shop today, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and special store hours tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Levitt's, 94 years and stronger than ever.
$1,700 minimum purchase required on Levitt's preferred customer card August 31st through September 4th to qualify for finance offer. Subject to credit approval. Accrued interest credited, paid in full by the promotional expiration date as indicated on your monthly billing statement. 24% APR standard rate, 26% default rate. See store for details.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dihydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
Now serving for the match, it's Jimmy Wang. Serves to Lee. Wang. Lee. Backhand by Wang. Lee. Wang, with a tremendous forehand, wins the World Series of Ping Pong. There's the World Series, and then there's the World Series. The season wraps up. For some, it's going to be a long, cold winter, but one team will call themselves world champs. The season wraps up on ESPN Radio, Sirius 120. Go to Sirius.com for the game broadcast schedule.
Want to get your child fired up about playing a sport? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. My wife taught me that it's not a good idea to push your kids into sports. Instead, do things to get them interested. Take them to a tennis match or a baseball game. Then, give them a book or magazine on the sport. Maybe even check out a video from the library. Get excited about the sport yourself, and let them enjoy the overall experience. For ideas on how to keep your kids motivated once they do get involved with sports, go to FamilyMinute.net for a free information sheet. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, familyminute.net. That's familyminute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
You can have 20 million people around you all the time. When you don't have love for yourself, you're lonely.
Mary J. Blige, recording artist.
Drugs used to make me feel no pain at all. Once the feeling is gone, you're back to feeling like you're nobody. Love starts from inside you. I just accepted who I was. I accepted Mary. That fills the loneliness when you really love you. It's a way of healing.
A message from the Partnership for Drug-Free America.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose.
Big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way.
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Hey, what's going on, 20 past the hour? Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Yo!
Morning's edition, it's Friday. You're listening to Air America Radio. Broadcasting from the elevated bunker in New York City, the capital of the liberal elite. We finally got Pashman on his way, man. There was more in-depth sort of like, I want it over hard. I said, I need it over hard, man. That's, you got to break the yolks on those eggs, you know, when you have an egg sandwich.
Yeah. Then he went badmouth the people that are actually going to make the food that we're going to put in our mouths.
I can't believe this is what we're talking about. In such an important political climate, how dare us talking about this? Unbelievable.
Okay.
Unbelievable. It's important, though. The spectrum of dessert or of breakfast orders and what can... I used to work at a deli. I used to be a counter guy. I used to cook breakfasts. That used to be my specialty, pancakes, omelets, and stuff like that when I was in high school and then in college.
Really?
So I know. I know the range.
I worked at Needix. Anybody that's ever been in New York back in the day knows about Needix.
Here's my dream diary from last night. I'm at the psychiatrist's office with my dead cat, Butch. Not for me, for her. For her, all right? After her last arrest for trying to claw Springsteen after the Vote for Change concert, the court is making her see someone about her anger management issues. And since I'm her legal guardian, I have to make sure she goes. It took 12 stitches above my eye, and I'll have to get a new couch. But she's here. Butch lights a cigarette, blows smoke at the psychiatrist, who is a tweety little man with a monocle and a lizard tail. She says, anger, Dr. Quackenstein? As Henry Ward Beecher said, a man that does not know how to be angry does not know how to be good. But what would your sham voodoo science know of passion, you flaccid little man with your flaccid little ideas and your flaccid little penis? The shrink says, interesting. Does your hostility always express itself sexually? Butch sneers at him. Ah, I was wondering when you would show up, Dr. Freud. There's nothing subliminal in my lust, doctor. And though I despise you, if you were a cat, I would still make loud, filthy love to you. In fact, hitting you would make our sweaty coupling twice as delicious. Our fluids would ruin this couch. The doctor wrote something down and says, I see. What can you tell me about your mother? Butch stubbed out her cigarette on his rug. She was contemptible whore, but she was free. She abandoned me instantly after my birth, and I am glad. It taught me to rely on the fire within myself rather than on a fragile web of convenient lies that you call love or religion or science, little man. The doctor says, but you seem to believe in violence. Isn't that also a convenient lie? Butch glared at him and bared her claws. The only reason I don't slash you open like a piñata is to disprove your pathetic theory. You are a hypocrite in this room, straw puppet, not Butch. Oh, did I say that? The doctor, now it's Butch. The doctor just nods and scribbles and says, do you have dreams? Perhaps you should write them down.
Butch laughs. A dream diary. What a ridiculous idea. She throws a glance at me. That's the kind of thing he would do. And look where it's gotten him. Butch laughs so hard she coughed up a hairball. I stand up and I say, all right, I promised to bring her here, but it's obviously not working out, so we'll just go. The doctor said, Butch, would you be willing to come in three times next week? Butch lights a cigarette, shrugs, and says, why not? I think we are making excellent progress. Shall we say Tuesday, 3-ish? I woke up and my bed was filled with sun-made raisins.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. What's that about? Yeah. It's always weird what I wake up with. So let's get into this, man. First of all, I want to say, let's just do a little timeline here. Quick timeline. Bush administration reasons for invading Iraq. Saddam is a threat to America. This is September 12, 2002. Quote, Saddam Hussein's regime is grave and gathering danger. To suggest otherwise is to hope against the evidence. To assume this regime's good faith is to bet the lives of millions and the peace of the world in a reckless gamble. And this risk is a risk we must not take. Bush said that to the UN September 12, 2002. And of course, no weapons have been found. Today they said there are no weapons. And in the Dulfer report, no evidence to suggest a concerted effort for Iraq to restart nuclear programs. So now Bush has got this sort of intent thing. This intent.
Desire is the problem.
Look, if you base preemptive action on intent, that is pure fascism in my head. To speculate that you know what someone else is thinking, especially on a domestic level. Anyways, Iraq has biological and chemical weapons. George Bush in the Rose Garden on September 26, 2002. The Iraqi regime possesses biological and chemical weapons. The Iraqi regime is building the facilities necessary to make more biological weapons. No. Iraq is believed to have destroyed all of its chemical weapons after the 1991 Gulf War and did not resume the program, according to the Dulfer report. And while the Ba'ath Party government attempted to preserve its capability to make biological agents, there were no indications the regime was developing any. Dig that. Here we go. Iraq has nuclear weapon capabilities. Quote, the British government has learned that Saddam Hussein recently sought significant quantities of uranium from Africa. That was Bush during his January 28th, 2003 State of the Union address. Now, this turned out to be a big fiasco, a lie, and they outed Joe Wilson's wife.
Yes.
And that, you know, as, you know.
And the New York Times reporter is going to jail for it, of all things.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, Judith Miller.
I didn't
She's been
that.
Found in contempt of court, and they can
for
keep her,
revealing her sources.
For not revealing her sources for an article that was never published. But that's another story for another day.
Iraq has nuclear weapons capabilities. Iraq has attempted to purchase high-strength aluminum tubes suitable for nuclear weapons production. George Bush during his January 28, 2003 State of the Union address. Now, this just came up also in the Dulfer report that these tubes were definitely not for nuclear reactors. They were too big. They were iodized. They ionized. And there was a lot of just debunking that.
Yeah, and Condoleezza Rice, by the way, acknowledged that she knew there was some debate about this, but they went ahead and said it anyway.
Yeah, like they said everything else. You know, Tenet, what do you got? Not good enough. Tenet, bring something else. Tenet, yep. Looks like you're out of work. Thanks for the help. Iraq is linked to terrorism. Quote, the terrorist threat to America and the world we diminish the moment that Saddam Hussein is disarmed.
Yeah, that was full of yucks.
Oh, my God. March 17, 2003. Right. Yes. Well, we've proved that since the Iraq invasion, terrorism has increased on a global level, and certainly Iraq is just teeming with terrorists coming in over the borders, according to Alawi. Now, this is the stage that has been set.
This is the stage that's been set for the debate tonight, and now we hear George W. Bush, again, incredibly trying to say that Saddam, now, the reason for invading now, has to do with the oil for food program. Let's hear our president.
The Dulfer report showed that Saddam was systematically gaming the system, using the UN oil for food program to try to influence countries and companies in an effort to undermine sanctions.
Anytime he says something about Saddam Hussein, it sounds like he's talking about himself. I mean, talking about an administration that games the system for their own benefit. I mean, please. I mean, it's like, and look, you know, I am no Saddam sympathizer, and I'm not saying that, you know, he was a good guy or anything, but the reason he was putting on a front was so he didn't get flanked by Iran. And I'm assuming that America knew this all along. And the truth of the matter is about gaming the system, I mean, the sanctions were working. You know, and he wasn't the only one skimming off the top on the Oil for Food program. I mean, Cheney, through Halliburton's, you know, front organization, a French company that Halliburton was worked through, was doing business with the, you know, with the sanctioned Iraqi regime.
Everybody was scamming the Oil for Food program, including several American allies in addition to Halliburton. So if you're going to start talking about somebody scamming the Oil for Food program as a justification for going to war... What color was the sky in his world?
But then what did Kerry, say back? Do we have that? No, not yet.
No. We'll get to it, though. We'll definitely get to it.
I forgot we got a break here. All right.
When we come back, Iraq, birth of a nation, Georgia Congresswoman and Senate candidate Denise Majette, Rapture Watch. And the dog of the week. When we return here on Air America Radio.
In the presidential debate last week, John Kerry beat up George Bush for having his priorities backward in the war on terror. He asked Bush why he's spending millions of dollars to open firehouses in Iraq while he's shutting them down at home. The Bush administration has so far thrown nearly $200 billion at Iraq. Meanwhile, the Department of Homeland Security will get only $27 billion this year, with most of that going to items that were in place well before 9/11. The Iraq war is killing genuine Homeland Security. Experts say it'll take $6 billion to upgrade subway and commuter trains in large U.S. cities to safeguard against terrorism. This year, Bush is spending less than 2% of that amount, around $100 million. How long would it take to burn through that money in Iraq? 8 hours. The administration is billions short on upgrading port security, equipping airports with machines that screen baggage for explosives, and training firefighters for terrorist attacks. The amount it spends on all these initiatives combined would last only half a week in Iraq. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
We've undertaken the most sweeping reorganization of the federal government since the beginning of the Cold War.
We'll provide frontline defenders with the gear, the communications equipment, and the intelligence that they need.
One of the most important steps we've taken is creating the Department of Homeland Security.
And we'll make sure that our public health system is ready for whatever comes its way.
Live presidential debate coverage and reaction, Friday night on Sirius Right 142, Left 143, Air America 144, and Sirius NPR Now 106.
This is Earth and Sky. Azam al-Wash grew up near the marshes of southern Iraq.
This area was once called the Fertile Crescent. Last year, al-Wash returned to Iraq for the first time in 25 years.
And I was shocked to see my marshes. I remember sitting and watching the central marshes. They were like a dry desert, an ugly sight.
In the 1990s, new upstream dams starved the marshes of fresh water, and about 90% of them disappeared. Al-Wash is an environmental engineer and project director for Eden Again, an international effort to restore Iraq's marshes. In the past year, about half of the marshes have been reflooded by local inhabitants, and a few are coming back to life. Al-Wash spends about a week each month in the reflooded marshes, hoping to learn why some are recovering and others aren't.
And one of my dreams is in 5 years we would be leading some ecotourist adventurists into this area to show them the ruins of Babylon and the ruins of Ur and the cradle of civilization, and then take them on a kayak tour into some of the floating islands in the middle of the marshes that are coming back. It's a story of hope. I can tell your listeners that the restoration of the marshes is one of the highlights of Iraq of today.
Our thanks to the National Science Foundation, where discoveries begin. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6, name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
It was way too much for my body, and I started tripping really, really bad. I curled up in a ball in a corner, started ripping out my hair, then slit my wrist with a steak knife. Fell into a coma and had to get my stomach pumped. I'm now in therapy in a rehab group. At school, I'm not even called by my name anymore. People just refer to me as that junkie.
This 15-year-old didn't die using ecstasy, though she probably wished she had. Leave ecstasy alone. To learn how or to read other real-life ecstasy tragedies, visit drugfreeamerica.org.
Floods and flash floods can strike almost anywhere. Many people don't know that the severe damage to homes and property caused by floodwaters is not covered by homeowners insurance. Protect yourself and your family from catastrophic financial loss due to flood damage. Learn more about the National Flood Insurance Program by calling 1-800-427-4661. 1-800-427-4661. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
That's brutal, man. It's brutal. It's 34 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Yo!
Morning's edition. Passman walks in with the food.
10 seconds before we're
Caleb's
coming back.
Like, we're coming back in 10. I'm like, but I want to bite my sandwich. I can't bite my sandwich in 10 seconds. No, Riley, you're just sitting there. You got food in your mouth. You're just rubbing
not
it in
anymore,
my face.
I don't. But now, here's what I'll do for you, because I like you. You're a nice guy. I will introduce our guest while you eat. How's
that? I've got to do this comedy piece. I can't
eat
nothing.
Sorry.
Now, I'm not taking any time to eat. I'm going to let my sandwich get cold for you people.
Nice.
You know, look at this. Yeah, I didn't even double-check my thing here. We don't know what's going to happen.
Uh-oh.
Since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 101. Leaders of Iraq. Yes, good morning. I just saw a new poll that says Iraqi voters are losing interest in the upcoming elections in January. Just when we start to think you're not paying attention to the way America does things, boom, you pull this one out of your burqa. The poll said that potential voters had no interest in or understanding of the process. Where am I? Wisconsin? All right, look, maybe not. But that poll is such good news, and let me tell you why. When the people are apathetic and confused, they'll let you do whatever you want. That means anything. Stealing. Lying. Shooting. Yeah! Shooting! Great! That's fun, right? And if you think people are apathetic now, wait till you miss your mass media. Wait till you get a mass media going like ours. Hundreds of channels of mind-numbing crap. Soon more Iraqis will know the name of the bachelor than the vice president. It's so sweet. We're not mentioning any names, but with an apathetic electorate, you can have the most incompetent lying boob as president, and a lot of people will still want to reelect him. We don't understand the process either, and we wouldn't have it any other way. So good luck and God bless. This is day 101 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Live free or die.
All right. We are pleased to have on our microphones this morning Congresswoman from the 4th District of Georgia, candidate for retiring Senator Zell Miller's seat. Her opponents are, that's the Senate seat, by the way. Her opponents are Representative Johnny Isaacson and Libertarian candidate Alan Buckley. It's a pleasure to welcome to our microphones Congressmember Denise Majette. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being with us.
It's great to be with you both.
Now, some people initially thought this was going to be a long shot for you, but it looks as though it's a tight race. The Republicans have actually sent Rudy Giuliani, for what I don't know, and Majority Leader Bill Frist to stump for your opponent, Congressman Johnny Isaacson. Tight race, huh?
Tight race, and we're going to pull ahead, and we're going to cross the finish line first.
How are you going to do it? Where's your base of support? What do you have to do to win?
We're going to continue to do what we've been doing, and that is to reach out to people across the state and talk about the issues that matter to the people of Georgia. That's why I've introduced when I become a senator, the National Education Lottery and the new GI Bill of Rights.
Have you ever thought about pulling a Zell Miller and challenging your opponent to a duel?
Well, Well, this campaign is focused on the people of Georgia, the future of Georgia,
good.
And what Georgians need and want and deserve.
So you're gonna there's a little momentum behind you to sort of redefine the Georgia Democratic Party and take it away from these sort of fraudulent Democrats, so to speak, like Zell Miller, who's roughly a Republican, I would say.
Well, I have great respect for Senator Miller, and when he was governor, he appointed me to the DeKalb State Court, and I served there for almost 10 years. We differ on a lot of things, but really this is about the people of Georgia and the future of Georgia.
Now,
and so those are the issues that we're addressing in the campaign and that we'll address as a member of the Senate.
All right. Well, Congresswoman Majette, would you tell me why, because I hear a lot of people, I've never heard a Democrat say anything bad about Zell Miller, and maybe I'm ill-informed. But, after his performance at the Republican National Convention and after his behavior on Chris Matthews' show, was this a guy that was different when you met him, when he gave you your job?
Well, I think he's doing what he thinks is best, but we have to look at the big picture.
Uh-huh.
We have to look at the future of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that he did was to give us the Hope Scholarship through the lottery. And yesterday I introduced what I'm expecting to introduce as a member of the Senate, the National Education Lottery, so that we can address one of the most important problems that we have here in Georgia and here in this country, and that is educating our children, giving them all that they need so that they can be the leaders that we need them to be and be productive citizens going into the future. Those are the things that people are really concerned about right now.
Absolutely.
Congresswoman, what is the nature of your relationship with your predecessor in the 4th District, Cynthia McKinney, who is now, of course, running for that seat again? You had a very contentious race where you won. You beat her a few years back. Are her supporters coming out for you?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. We have very strong support here in the 4th District and across the state. But, when I was running for election, when I ran for the House seat, I got 77% of the vote in the general election. And then this year's primary and in this year's runoff, I got 80% of the vote, of the Democratic vote in the 4th District and in Metro Atlanta. We're running a strong, positive campaign. We're focusing on the issues that matter to the people of Georgia, being able to provide an education for each and every child so that those children can succeed, giving teachers what they need so that they can do their jobs, making sure that our troops and their families are well provided for and are taken care of, and that we're keeping the promises that America made to them and the promise of America, the promise that America holds for all of us. And so those are the things we've been talking about in this campaign, being able to educate our children, taking care of our troops and their families, honoring the commitment that they have made to us, and making America stronger in that way.
That's tremendous. Can you talk a little bit about you've announced that the first piece of legislation you'll introduce as a senator will be a new GI Bill with the free college tuition. Can you tell us a little bit how that'll work?
Well, yes. It'll be modeled after the original GI Bill that President Roosevelt signed back in 1944.
Mm-hmm.
And under that legislation, the federal government provided World War II veterans with education, vocational training, assistance in job searches, a guarantee for home loans, and those are the things that help make America strong and help us keep a strong fighting force and keep the promises that we've made to those men and women who put their lives on the line and continue to put their lives on the line.
Mm-hmm.
I have every confidence that this new GI Bill will continue to uplift our country, energize it and strengthen it, and it's an investment in our future. It's
absolutely
something we absolutely have to do. For every dollar that this nation invested in the old GI Bill, we received almost $7 in return. And it's unconscionable that our servicemen and women, our veterans, do not have the kind of health care that allows them to take care of themselves. We have 6-month waits in the VA hospitals for servicemen and women to be seen. That's unconscionable. We have broken our promises to them, and one of the most important things we can do is to make sure that we are keeping our promises to those men and women who have fought and given us the opportunity to have the freedoms that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Would this program involve having to levy any new taxes, or if not, where's the money going to come from?
Well, I don't envision that we'll have to levy any new taxes, but certainly we have to look at the tax structure as it stands now, and it's going to be important that we make this investment in our future. that we make the kinds of sacrifices that our brave men and women are owed, and to recognize the sacrifices that we have made for us. But the cost of this is really very small, and it pales in comparison to what we will get back if we make that investment. For the healthcare piece, it will cost about $2.5 billion. And for the education portion, it'll only cost $300 million. But the impact of that is going to be substantial on strengthening our communities and making sure that we have well-educated servicemen and women and their families, and that they are healthy and can address the needs that they have. And in that way, that's going to help make our state and our country stronger.
Terrific. Well, Congresswoman Denise Majette, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
It was nice talking to you, and good luck.
Thanks very much.
Okay,
right.
Bye-bye. We'll take your calls now at 866-303-2270. Give us a call. What's on your mind? A little pre-debate discussion would be nice. What do you want to see? What do you want to hear? You want to vent? Give it to us. 43 past the hour, Air America Radio. Call us here at Morning Sedition at 666.
Wait a minute.
Oh, sorry. That's the mark of the beast.
That's 866-303-2270.
That's 866-303-2270.
Are you sick and tired of your bathroom scale dictating your mood? If you're down a pound, great day, but watch out if you're up a pound or two or your clothes are a bit tighter. That is not a good day. If this sounds like you, then step off the scale and into the CortiSlim lifestyle by calling 800-921-BURN. You know CortiSlim people. You run into those CortiSlim show-offs constantly. You hear how great and physically fit they feel and how they're going shopping for new clothes. Well, CortiSlim people have learned that at least part of their weight issues are related to stress and hormones. CortiSlim people don't drive themselves nuts because they've learned the balance of exercise, nutrition, diet, and supplementation. If you're ready, step off the scale and into the CortiSlim lifestyle. Call now and get $20 off when you purchase 2 bottles of CortiSlim. $20 off 2 bottles. That's huge. Call 800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN. That's 800-921-BURN.
Hi, Orkin Man here with a pest control secret. You know, people aren't the only ones who flock to the water this time of year. Millions of ants do, too. So it's common to find them near dishwashers and kitchen sinks. If you spot a few strolling along your kitchen counter with beach umbrellas and little teeny tiny flip-flops, you're not the only one. To end this pool party, call me at Orkin. We've been helping to protect homes for over 100 years. Well, this is the Orkin Man saying, if it bugs you, bug me at 1-800-ORKINMAN.
I try to teach my children what's important in life. So instead of Fruit Loops cereal, I buy Maltomeal Tutti Frutti's cereal. Maltomeal Tutti Frutti's tastes just as good and has all the same vitamins and minerals, plus more vitamin A and calcium. And we get 50% more cereal for about the same price. Lesson?
I know, it's what's inside that counts.
Look for Maltomeal Tutti Frutti's in over 20 other popular flavors, because Maltomeal means more. Part of a balanced breakfast. Claim based on net weight comparison of 22.5 ounces to 15 ounces. Fruit Loops is a registered trademark of Kellogg Company.
Join us October 11th for the Vote for Change concert, live from D.C. with Springsteen, R.E.M., the Dixie Chicks, the Dave Matthews Band, John Mellencamp, and a slew of others. It's 4 hours of great music and a chance to show your support for John Kerry. And well, if you're a righty, turn it up for the music and just turn it down between the songs. The Vote for Change concert, Monday the 11th at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Spectrum 18.
How does arguing with your spouse affect your kids? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Some family experts say that lots of arguing results in more aggression between kids. But there's an upside to observing conflict between parents. When you handle it properly, kids can learn how to discuss problems and how to resolve them. And they can see that relationships and family life improve as a result. So, it's okay to disagree openly and calmly with your spouse, as long as you respect and listen to one another. Focus on working toward a solution and not letting anger get the better of you. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to familyminute.net. That's familyminute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your butt. I think I found your butt in my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
They're in your bathroom cabinet, under the kitchen sink, in your garage. They're ordinary household products that kids as young as 10 sniff to get high. What these kids don't know is that sniffing can cause instant death. Talk to your kids. Know where they're going, who they're with, and what they're doing. If you know what your kids are up to, they're much less likely to sniff inhalants. Awareness. The anti-drug.
This is your wake-up call. That flag doesn't belong to any president. It doesn't belong to any ideology. It doesn't belong to any party. It belongs to all the American people.
It's not enough, my brother, to say that you have faith when there are no deeds. I am running for president because it's time to turn words into deeds and faith into action. I see jobs that need to be created. I see families that need to be housed. I see violence that needs to be stopped. I see children that need to be taught and children who need to be cared for.
You don't value families by kicking kids out of after-school programs and taking cops off the streets. We believe in the family value of caring for our children and protecting the neighborhoods where they walk and they play.
We have an important message for those who question the patriotism of Americans who offer a better direction for our country. Before wrapping themselves in the flag and shutting their eyes to the truth, they should remember that when Americans stand up and say America can do better, it is the heart and soul of patriotism.
Yes! It's pretty clear who we're supporting here at Air America Radio.
The Green Party candidate?
Yes, of course.
Bruce Springsteen, John Kerry together for the first time, I think, like that. Can you imagine if he talked at that clip in the debate, just like, you know, like layered like that, like one right there? People be like, wow, that's kind of weird, but it's effective. I'm Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Oh!
Wow. That's the opening bell, and that means it's time for the Morning Sedition Friday Business Report. This week brought one of the best investment opportunities to turn up in 4 years. That's right. During this long, perilous era of Bush economics, I've never come across a safer, more secure, more reliable place to put your money than this exciting new commodity. 1,200-year-old Anglo-Saxon pennies. Yes, especially if they bear the portrait of King Kenwulf, ruler of Mercia, brother to the cuthbert Kent, King of Kent, who once quarreled with Wulfred of Canterbury. I hope you're taking this down. You see, one recently sold at auction for over $400,000. Sure, it was the only one known to exist, but odds are you'll find one sitting in your Muswix before you ever receive a full pension. So don't spend your golden years in your children's garage quietly waiting for death. Dust off that metal detector and hop on down to the banks of the River Ivel in Bedfordshire, just 3 leagues north of where those two of those bog people were dug up. There you can quietly wait for death. It's less demeaning and you'll look like you're actually accomplishing something. As always, exercise due diligence. Blah, blah, blah. Yada, yada, yada. This has been the Morning Sedition Business Report.
Kent Jones, the colonel, in the house eating a bag of Bugles.
Oh, busted. That's a sad confession on a Friday, isn't it?
Bag of Bugles. I remember as a kid there was an ad campaign with Bugles. I don't even know what they taste like. I kind of remember. They're kind of crispy corn. Boy, it's a food.
They're a crispy corn snack, they're embarrassing, but they're great.
Read those ingredients before you eat it.
Let's take a call. Maybe this guy knows where Bugles came from.
Dave, how are you, Dave? What's going on?
What's up, Dave?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
You want a Bugle?
I'm sure.
Why not?
I'm so addicted to the polls. I went to electoral-vote.com, and I've been watching Kerry surging ahead. It reminds me of when he was surging ahead against Dean. It's just like this unstoppable freight train. The states are turning more and more blue.
Can we call it a fire truck, please? Unstoppable fire truck?
He's finally ahead.
Just call it an unstoppable fire truck?
Absolutely.
There you go.
I was reading the message that the guy had, and he mentioned this story in Salon.com today about people speculating about this bulge that Bush had.
Enough, right?
On his back. During the debate.
Right, we talked about that earlier. Some people think, are you torturing an animal in the background?
What if it's 200 cats?
Desperately wants...
Is that Butch? Butch, is that you?
Oh, no. What's your cat's name?
See, her name is Nutmeg.
Nutmeg.
The other cat died a few months ago, and ever since, she just walks around the house and bawls.
This has turned into a sad story.
Okay.
But let's get back to Kerry, leaping ahead in the polls. I was about to say something. Oh, about the bulge, yeah. I mean, people were speculating that he had an earphone in him, but I'm saying, like, look, whether he did or not, he lost. So clearly he doesn't have the hang of how to use it, and I know it's wrong if he does, but, I mean, we shouldn't be focusing on whether or not he had an earphone.
No, I'd love someone to have a recording of people prompting him. That would be so cool.
I think that what I said earlier in what we talked about earlier, thanks for your call, Dave, is that I actually think that, as I said yesterday, that George Bush has become just, he's just Karl Rove's man-sized penis. And I think that Karl Rove sits in the front few rows of every debate, and he just looks and goes, look, my penis is talking. It's amazing I can make it talk. Look at that. And that
you're getting me in trouble with all this penis talk. You know that, right?
How am I getting you in trouble?
I get lectured by my 7.5-year-old daughter about why he's using those words. Not me, mind you. You! But she wants me to explain why you use those words.
I'm using the proper word. I'm not, it's not like I'm saying or even, or how about,
honey?
I'm saying,
and if you've met Rove, his penis actually does talk.
Yes.
I mean, it's just a fact, really.
It's like people in the inner circle are just like, uh-oh. And you just hear this sort of muffled, like, I am the king, coming from his pants. Let bow down to me. It's like, oh, no, where's that coming from? I am the king of everything. That's Carl's penis. Oh, this is embarrassing. And yeah, see, that happens.
You should hear it on karaoke night. Unbelievable.
All right, here we go. Let's try this. Andre, how are you in Portland? Nice.
What's up, Andre?
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I think Kerry should pull a John Kennedy and basically shame every rich person in America into putting in their fair share during the time of war.
That's right. I think, the idea that they cut taxes during a time of war is just, it's horrendous.
Insane.
Yes, and I think you're right. I don't know if Kerry has stood up for that before, but I think you're right. I think that's absolutely a good idea. Thanks for your call, Andre, and I'll pass that right over to Fire Truck Kerry as soon as we can get him on the phone. I think we've talked to this guy. Mauricio in Fort Lauderdale, how are you?
Hey, Mauricio.
How are you guys doing?
Good. What's happening?
I have a quick question and a request.
Okay.
I don't know. I hear Bush, people trying to say tonight, like, it's going to favor him because he's such a nice guy, even though this is a debate they didn't want to do.
Yeah.
My theory is that Bush couldn't even beat Kerry in one of his debates. Everybody's hand-picked, and he questions, like, Mr. President, I don't have a question. I have three thank yous.
I'm losing you.
Yeah, we're losing
Mauricio,
unfortunately,
sorry.
Mauricio.
It sounded like a very good point, and I agree. that was very good, and we're going to take care of that right away. Mauricio.
Unless we go through one of those numerous tunnels they have in Miami.
Yeah, there's no tunnel.
I don't know.
Maybe just drove off into the ocean. I think both of them are slurring. All right. What do we got to do, Ken? You didn't
dog of the week is what we got to do.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here we go. Wait, hold on. No.
Yeah. Mark Riley, Dog of the Week.
Right, we hesitated in the past to make our Dog of the Week too obvious or simple, but this week we have no choice. The Bush-Cheney ticket has shown itself to be utterly unfit to run this country, and it's time to call them on it. The vice president disgraced himself Tuesday in the debate with Senator John Edwards in the face of continued assaults on the administration's rationale for going to war in Iraq. Cheney justified the invasion on discredited grounds yet again. His reasons have been undercut from both inside and outside the administration, and still he bleats about the world being a safer place now that Saddam Hussein is in jail. Then when confronted with the Dolphin report finding that Saddam had no weapons of mass destruction, his answer was, "We already knew that." His alleged boss, President Bush, has done no better. He's come up with yet another reason for deposing Saddam. Now it's the UN Food for Oil program and its corruption being trotted out by a president and an administration that has clearly run out of answers. To call these people morally bankrupt is to give them far too much credit. They've constructed an alternate reality, and that reality bites. That's why the Bush-Cheney ticket is the Morning Sedition Dog of the Week.
You know what? I want you guys to stay on the phone if you want to. Up to the top of the hour, about 6 minutes, we'll take some more calls about the debates. I know you're excited. What else we got?
In the next hour, we've got former Labor Secretary Robert Reich looking at the new unemployment figures. Recovery Corner, phones, and journalist Jim Moore previews tonight's debate, all on Air America Radio.
On Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Yeah, hello, this is Daniel in Michigan. Anybody who thinks John Kerry is going to sell our sovereignty or our right for preemptive action against any enemy that threatens us is completely uninformed. Get your head out of your butt, get informed, and get to the polls and vote for John Kerry.
This is Marsha Wallace in Greenville, South Carolina, and I'd like to say that in this upcoming election, I'm going to vote for John Kerry because I value environmental protection, good health care, excellent educational system, women's rights, and honesty and integrity. And I believe John Kerry represents all of those things. Please vote for John Kerry on November the 2nd.
Hi, my name's Dorothy, and I'm calling from British Columbia. Even though I'm a Canadian, I'm aware that what happens in the United States affects all of the planet. Please vote for John Kerry.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
Ben.
I am the innocent photograph to delight those who would have melody on.
Now, Sirius Satellite Fresh. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. President Bush and John Kerry are preparing for tonight's debate in St. Louis. It will be a town hall setting, which is a complete departure from last week's face-off, resulting in Kerry's poll increase. President Bush has held a number of town hall-style campaign appearances, but those audiences have been largely all friendly. His campaign aides have been preparing the president for a slightly different experience tonight. Despite this, the pressure will be on Bush with a series of news developments this past week, raising serious questions about the White House handling of Iraq. Bush has been slinging the mud on Kerry to blunt his momentum, but Kerry says Bush can no longer depend on his ability to spin. The facts are clear.
The American people deserve more than spin about this war. They deserve facts that represent reality, not carefully polished arguments and points that are simply calculated to align with a preconceived perception.
John Kerry yesterday on the campaign trail in Colorado. Pentagon planners and military commanders are readying a plan to take down 20 to 30 Iraqi towns just before the elections in January. The administration is scurrying to put down the insurgency while some admitting there will be no guarantee of success as more and more American lives are lost. More than 100,000 Afghan and foreign security forces are on high alert the day before the country's first direct presidential election. Despite more than 10 rocket attacks within the past 24 hours, there's no indication that Taliban or Al-Qaeda rebels have a massive assault in store for tomorrow's vote. A spokesman for the International Peacekeeping Force says everyone is optimistic that the election will go as planned. Security has been a chief concern in the run-up to the election. Three attacks have been made on interim leader Hamid Karzai. Karzai, and his political allies. The latest was Wednesday's attack on Karzai's vice presidential running mate. He was unhurt, but one person was killed in the assault. An explosion ripped through a resort hotel. hotel last night in Egypt, where a number of Israelis have been vacationing at the end of the Jewish holiday. The blast killed some 30 people and wounded more than 100. Two smaller blasts were recorded shortly after at other tourist sites in Egypt's Sinai Peninsula. Eyewitnesses have initially given unconfirmed reports that car bombs caused all three blasts. First explosion rocked the Hilton Hotel in the Tabor Resort area, only yards away from the Israeli border. Senior American official yesterday gave the first indication that the Bush administration is concerned by recent remarks by an Israeli government official that Israel plans to freeze the peace process with the Palestinians after withdrawing from Gaza. The Bush administration had publicly expressed confidence that the nation's Prime Minister Ariel Sharon had planned to advance the peace process. Privately, American diplomats are concerned about the Sharon government's latest stance on the peace initiative. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
We've undertaken the most sweeping reorganization of the federal government since the beginning of the Cold War.
We'll provide frontline defenders with the gear and the communications equipment and the intelligence that they need.
One of the most important steps we've taken is creating the Department of Homeland Security.
And we'll make sure that our public health system is ready for whatever comes its way.
Live presidential debate coverage and reaction Friday night on Sirius Right 142, Left 143, Air America 144, and Sirius NPR Now 106.
This is Earth and Sky. Jeffrey Polavina is a marine ecologist at the Pacific Islands Fisheries Science Center in Hawaii.
He tags sea animals to learn where they go, where they feed, and where they mate. The tags relay the data to scientists via a system of satellites.
Tags have revealed that loggerhead turtles travel back and forth across the Pacific Ocean along a trans-Pacific turtle highway. Polavina told us that turtles seem to congregate midway through their migration at a mid-ocean hotspot just west of the international dateline.
It's just amazing that these loggerhead turtles, and I think many of the other turtles as well that we track, really seem to have a map of the ocean. We'll see them go into eddies, which are underwater cyclones, and they'll ride around the edges of these eddies for months at a time. These are big features. They'll get off exactly where they got on. They'll go through currents that move them north or south or east or west, but then they'll readjust their position.
Since the animals obviously know where important feeding and breeding places are, Polavina says scientists are thinking about using the animals to gather data that's typically collected by floating research instruments. He calls it biologging, relying on fleets of animals instead of ocean-going research vessels.
Our thanks to the National Science Foundation, where discoveries begin. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Speak out on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Yeah, this is Tom in Missouri. The Bush administration has botched everything they've gotten their hands on, and they have got to go on November 2nd. Vote for John Kerry for president.
Hello, I'm Terry Dembowski. I'm from Ohio. I'm voting for Mr. Bush. President Bush has done a fine job for it. I'm a truck driver, and many of other truck drivers like myself are voting for Mr. Bush.
This is Ron from New Jersey, and this November 2nd, I'll be voting for John Kerry. George Bush must go. Anybody that sits there for 7 minutes after they've been told that our nation is under attack is not a good leader.
This is Tracy from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm a retired U.S. Navy veteran, so I encourage all the veterans to get out and vote for George W. Bush.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
I'm Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. All right, here we go. Friday. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, paranoids, conspiracy theorists, people who believe that Bush had an earpiece yet still sucked. You know, it's like, it's amazing how the, you know, it's, and I'm not saying it's not true or it is true. It's a fine speculation to take, but the deal is that he lost. He's going to lose again because he's got nothing. He's got nothing to run on. Kerry's got focus. This administration now officially, and it hasn't for a while, but officially are on the defensive. They've got nothing to run on, and all they're cornered. I love it. They're cornered, and like Chris, Caleb, how do you feel about playing soundbite one? Is that okay with you, Mark Riley?
Sure.
Can we hear that? Because this is Bush's, you know, this is his only response to the assault on him right now.
He's claiming I misled America about weapons when he himself cited the very same intelligence about Saddam's weapons programs as the reason he voted to go to war.
Dude, he didn't vote to go to war. He voted to authorize, to give you the authorization to go to war if it was agreed upon.
If the United Nations Security Council signed off on it, and if Saddam Hussein continued to resist allowing arms inspectors. Remember, Saddam did not put the arms inspectors out of the country the last time they left. They left because the Americans said, we're getting ready to invade, and we can't vouch for your safety.
The Dolfer report says that the sanctions were working, that Hussein was cornered, that this was a big smokescreen in order so he wouldn't get flanked by Iran, that, you know, that he was broke, he was paranoid. He couldn't, you know, he had food tasters. He was the only weapons he was trying to make were small, you know, chemical weapons in order to assassinate people in his inner circle. I mean, the guy was losing it. He was a megalomaniacal person who was complete. And I'm not a Saddam sympathizer. I'm just saying that they are now saying that they were justified in going to war because of the exploitation of the oil for food program.
That is the most ridiculous nonsense that this administration has come up with in 4 years of ridiculous nonsense.
And the amazing thing is that Bush really has nothing. You can hear in his tone of voice that now he's screaming, don't you understand? I've been saying the same thing over and over again. How many times do I have to say it before you idiots will understand? He's got nothing. I mean, what's he going to do? Next week it's going to be like, we went to war because I lost a bet with Colin Powell. I mean, why is that a problem for you people? What, you can't see it? Look, we went to war because we bought all these weapons. Be ashamed not to use them. You understand? Look, the reason we went to war was because Al Jazeera canceled Everybody Loves Raymond. Just that, you know, how deep does this justification have to be for you people? We went to war because we are cruel and warlike people. Is there a problem? You know, because we went to war because we are the champions, my friends, and we'll keep on fighting till the end. To get right down to it, the reason we went to war, it's the only thing that excites me since I can't drink anymore. There's a little bit of truth. We went to war because I am in a protracted Oedipal struggle with my wussy father, and I'm winning. I'm winning! Megalomaniacal freak. That was not an impression of George Bush. It was an impression of George Bush's id, and that is the id of Karl Rove's man-sized penis. I'm sorry, Vivica. I apologize.
She accepts your apology.
but you're still going to have to explain.
Yeah, I will. I'll have a lot of explaining to do. But George Bush has explaining to do. Later for me, this is a guy who cannot explain why he took this country to war. He is trying to tell, and Mark, we've been focusing on Iraq so far this morning. We haven't even gotten to the economy yet. This is a man who sits up and acts as if the economy is humming right along. And there are millions upon millions of people falling into poverty, millions upon millions of people with no health insurance. Bob Herbert has a very interesting article in today's New York Times. Yeah. Maybe you have a chance to see it.
Yeah.
Because he's talking about a lot of the people that we've talked about, those folks that are straddling the middle, that are trying to make ends meet. And what he's saying essentially is that there are statistics. This was done, I believe, by the Ford and Rockefeller Foundations. A collaborative effort. They did a study, and what they found was that the average American family of four is finding it harder and harder to survive. These are not people that live off the interest of their investments. These are the people who live off the sweat of their brows, and they're finding it more and more difficult to pay the cost of living in America.
And, dude, in 20 minutes, a little less than 20 minutes, we're going to have the new job numbers, and we might maybe be able to get somebody who knows what they're talking about. Robert Reich, that's right. We're going to give him a call. Let me take a quick call here because I feel like it. Carlton in Florida, what's going on?
What's up, Carlton?
Yeah, hey, man. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
How you doing, man?
Guys, man, you know?
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, what it is, I'm in Florida, you know, I'd register to vote.
Yeah.
But I'm a blood Democrat, man. So
you're,
what it is,
yeah.
I register Republican because I listen to the radio station here.
Yeah.
After the 2000 saga.
Yeah.
And I realized a lot of people were being diverted all over the place and they never had a chance to vote.
Right.
So now I register Republican. They sent something to me in the mail saying that they are requesting additional information.
Really?
I never did send the information, but maybe when they looked and found out that I registered Republican, the next week,
yeah.
My voter's registration in the mail.
Oh, yeah. So you got it right away, huh?
Yeah. There's no additional information.
That's genius. Good work, Carl.
Yeah, it's
that's
a smart move,
radio.
Actually. Yeah. You know, register as a Republican, you'll get everything you need right on time. Register as a Democrat, you'll get it November 3rd.
That's unbelievable, especially in Florida. And they sent him follow-up questions the last time he registered. That's great that he did that. That was smart thinking because now they also think that they've got another registered voter that's for them, and they don't.
And they don't. Yeah, maybe they haven't taken the Bush loyalty oath or something.
Yeah, right. Or who knows? Or they were going to try and, you know, just distract him enough. See, that makes me, that's really scary because, so he registered a Democrat, and they actually did some sort of profile him, asked him for more information to hope that he wouldn't send them more information, and then, you know, people are just like, you know what, to hell with it.
That happens. There is still a small part of the American electorate that really believes that this election does not pertain to them, that it really has nothing for them, and it's not going to do anything for them.
You know who's going to help us out? Jim Moore from Austin, Texas, who has been following Bush for years.
Yeah.
He's going to come up in the next hour. We're going to, because, like, I am really starting to doubt that, you know, a lot of people are saying George Bush is, you know, he's got a gut level debate skill. And I think that as president, maybe as a candidate, he might have, but not as president. Quickly, can I take this, Chris, Zach in Chicago? What's up?
Hey, Zach.
Hey, how's it going?
Come on, man. So what do you got?
Well, electoralvote.com has a second enhanced version of the supposed microphone receiver on Bush's back.
Yeah, yeah.
And it really looks real. I didn't believe it. I dismissed it at first when I saw it.
It really looks real in what way? Have you seen one of these microphone receivers?
Well, it, you know, it looks three-dimensional. It does not look like his coat could fold the way...
Well, I mean, I saw those pictures, too, you know, and I'm all for conspiracy thinking, but I want to point out, again, that the dude lost, Zach.
Yeah.
He still sucked with a microphone.
Hey, Zach, you sure it wasn't like a boil or a goiter or something?
No, I thought what it was, you know, when you have a suit jacket that's a little snug in the shoulders, and it pulls between your shoulders and you get that crease, but look, I'm more than willing to indulge the conspiracy fantasy. I'm just saying we can't get bogged down with it because he lost, unless it's a trial balloon we're floating up just to protect ourselves tonight if he happens to kick ass, which he won't, then we can all go, I knew it was, he was Mike, and they figured it out. But, Zach, I appreciate your call.
Okay.
You take
all
it.
Right.
So after the break, we're going to talk to Jim Moore, one of our favorite guests. He's Bush's brain guy.
I love him. He's great. He's really great.
And he knows Bush. And I'd like to play that soundbite for him again and say, and just, you know, try to assess, not right now, but when Jim's on, to assess, like, because I think he's panicking. And I want to know what Jim thinks. So we'll talk to Jim Moore after this. It's 14 past the hour, Air America Radio.
This week on MotherJones.com, dealing with the merchant of death. And you thought Halliburton was bad. It turns out that the Bush crowd has hired an airline company tied to Victor Boot, one of the world's most notorious arms traffickers, to run charter missions for the U.S. military in Iraq. Get the full story at MotherJones.com. Every week on MotherJones.com, you'll find exclusive reports and timely pointers to the best of the independent web. Log on now to MotherJones.com because you need independent news.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice Cream Man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza Man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call American Satellite. 1-800-264-0071. That's 1-800-264-0071. Ask how you can get Total Choice Premier free for 4 months, a $360 value. 1-800-264-0071. Call now.
At $4.99 a month for second and each additional receiver. Offer ends October 30th, 2000. New customers only. Annual programming commitment required.
Sudden ups and downs. Breathtaking twists and turns. No, it's not a roller coaster. It's the stock market. But Barron's, America's premier financial weekly, can help you make money whichever way the market moves. Now you can get 13 weeks of Barron's plus the valuable guide to building wealth and 4 weeks of Barron's online, all for only $39. This offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S. Call now, 800-858-5800. That's 800-858-5800 for Barron's.
Serious.
Hi, honey, I'm home.
What do you mean I'm fat?
I didn't say that.
I'm tired of your attitude. You're always putting me down.
I never said you were fat. I just got...
See? You said I was fat again.
No, you said you were fat.
Some things aren't worth debating. Some things are. Live presidential debate coverage and reaction. Friday night on Sirius Right 142, Left 143, Air America 144, and Sirius NPR Now 106.
Honey?
Shut up.
Has someone offended you? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. If a family member, friend, coworker, or even a boss has said or done something to upset you, what should you do? Tell other people? Well, no. You need to go to that person and gently let them know how they've hurt you. If they don't respond, bring along one or two other people and approach them again. In doing all this, be sure you're coming to them with clean hands, without any grudges of your own. When you work for unity in your relationships, you'll be amazed at the results. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
And we're back. Bob from Scranton, you're on the air.
Hi, Ted. Love the show. Long-time listener. First-time caller.
Thanks, Bob. Is there a special someone out there you'd like to talk about?
There is, Ted. I recently lost a very big part of my life.
You'd been together a long time?
Since college. This is for my belly, my paunch, my spare tire. I know we had some good times. God knows I'll never forget that night in Albuquerque with the burritos.
It's never easy to lose something that's been such a huge part of you, Bob. Where'd the magic go?
Well, I'd recently begun taking the stairs more and more instead of the elevator, and then we started seeing less and less of each other. One day... it was just gone.
Small step number 67. Take the stairs instead of the elevator or escalator. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
When was the last time you tested your smoke alarms? Last month? Last year? Can't remember? If you're not sure your smoke alarms are working, then how can you be sure you'll be protected if a fire breaks out? Don't gamble with your life and assume your smoke alarms are working. Test each one every month so you know they'll be ready to protect you and your family if there's a fire. Test your alarms for life.
Covering poll junkie. 20 past the hour, Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley's Morning Sedition.
Hey!
Yeah, if Kerry was looking at the same intelligence you were, well, he was a senator, and it was intelligence that came through your office that you chose to give the Senate, you dummy. What a baby. What a big stinking baby our president is. That's what he comes back with. He had the same paper that I had. But, Mr. President, it came from your office. I don't care. It's the same paper. But, Mr. President, you went to war based on that paper that you bullied out of your CIA director. Doesn't matter. You looked at it, too. And but, Mr. President, this is all your fault. Shut up. You're fired.
Is that what you did to Tenet?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Change your mind. I'll send you out later. All right. Here we go. I know. Presidential Palm Pilot. It's Presidential Palm Pilot brought to us by some woman. I don't know where Ramon was. Oh, my God. What if that was Ramon?
Dude, Chimail City.
4 o'clock a.m., debate day. Wake up in St. Louis in a cold sweat. Note, must score Coke, must score Coke, must score Coke. Call Ramon. Oh, see, that's why. Ramon's out on a mission. 4:30 a.m., call Ramon again. Note, where the hell is he? How are people supposed to score Coke in the Midwest? I've actually asked myself that question before. How long would it take Air Force One to go to Miami? 6 a.m., dangle carry debate dummy off balcony. Need confidence builder. 7 a.m., wake economic advisor. See if it's too late to buy every voter a car. 8 a.m., Ramon finally comes. Thank you, Jesus. 9 a.m., party! No, what do I have to worry about? I'm the greatest president of all time. Everybody loves me. Thank you, Ramon. Woohoo! Hail to the chief! 11 a.m., curl up in a corner. Weep. Note, I can't do this. I got nothing. There's no WMDs. The polls are down. I screwed up that last one. Kerry's a much better debater than me. Oh, man. Cheney won't take my calls. Everyone knows about the earpiece. I'm screwed. I'm so screwed. 12 to 7 p.m. Stare out hotel window at nothing. Note, what does it all mean? No one knows the real me. I just wanted to run a baseball team. I never wanted this. Dad wanted this. It's only about making Dad happy. Let Jeb do it. 7:30 p.m., meeting with Cheney. His advice, pull yourself together, you stupid hick. We didn't waste billions on you so you could bail out now. Remember, we could take you out any time, and I don't mean the race, buddy. So get dressed, you stupid blow monkey. 9 p.m., debate. Be prepared to go to... What's wrong with me? Debate. Be prepared to go to Abe hands me a piece of paper and I have to go now scenario. National security. Can't talk about it. Gotta run. Gotta go do something presidential. 11 p.m. Bedtime. Note. Well, I've still got one friend left. Hello, Ramon? Yeah. Oh, man, I'm all juiced up. I'm ready to fly away. On the phone, one of our good friends, and he is on the phone, not from Afghanistan, from Texas. I wonder if they're going to have similar problems in Texas with the election. Good morning, Jim Moore. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Mark?
Hey, Jim.
I'm pretty good, man. I think that Bush is on the ropes, don't you?
He is on the ropes, and things are looking good. Zogby's got the battleground states moving towards Kerry. All the trend lines are positive, and we're moving into a debate where it's about domestic issues, and George Bush can't complete his sentences to talk about
it. He's got nothing. Did you hear this? Can I just play this? You've known Bush for how long? How many years, Jim?
Too many, over 20.
Okay, over 20, so you know everything about it. I just want to listen to this sound and tell me that he doesn't sound completely freaked out. Let's hear it, Chris.
He's claiming I misled America about weapons when he himself cited the very same intelligence about Saddam's weapons programs as the reason he voted to go to war.
Listen to him. If I scream it louder, I mean, what is going on? He's freaking out, isn't he?
Yeah, well, I mean, the public has finally started paying attention to the fact that our president lied to us. And they're finally saying, you know, well, maybe it's not such a good idea to put that guy back in there. And I think from the last debate, John Kerry's most devastating line out of that whole debate has gotten some traction. It's this whole idea of more of the same. Who wants it?
Yeah, and also, Kerry, hey, Chris, can we play this for Jim, that number three, the Kerry?
I don't know what I'm going to find on January 20th, the way the president is going. If the president just does more of the same every day and it continues to deteriorate, I may be handed Lebanon, figuratively speaking.
Wow. Pretty good,
serious.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. I mean, hopefully our process still works, and hopefully the public is paying enough attention now that they're realizing there are more people, you know, first president with negative job growth, more people without health care than in the past 30 or 40 years than ever, a war that seems endless and a quagmire that we have no idea how in the hell we're going to get out of it, you know. And maybe our process actually works, and people are going to say, okay, enough of this guy. I still am scared because I know that Karl Rove always has one unspent bullet in his gun, and I know that the guy will do anything at all to win, including mess with the process. So I'm afraid of electronic voting troubles and any number of other things.
What are the other things that you're afraid of, Jim? Please share.
I'm afraid that they have intelligence about another terrorist attack that they're not acting upon.
Mm-hmm.
And that could provide some things.
What about the bin Laden card?
Well, there's always the possibility that bin Laden might be doing the perp walk in Manhattan. But I think at this point, you know, we've gotten into October. I think that might backlash against the president. I've always felt that a part of his success has been this notion that he positions himself, Carl sort of markets him as the guy who's protecting us against the boogeyman. And if the boogeyman is brought in, you know, there's probably some kind of disconnect that occurs where the voters say, maybe we don't need this guy anymore. But honest to God, guys, my biggest fear is electronic voting.
Yeah. But, Jim, for the short term, you say Karl Rove's got an unspent bullet. Will he shoot it tonight in the debate? What can Bush do to right this ship? Because he's obviously got problems and he knows it.
I don't think it's going to be in a debate. I don't think he trusts Bush in a sort of uncontrolled situation to drop a bomb. I think that, you know, it's going to be in a campaign event. It's going to be a leak to a major newspaper reporter or a network television correspondent if they've got a big bombshell or a scandal or something to drop on Kerry. And listen, he always does this. At the end of every campaign, he slips something out there or he puts something in the water to muddy things up, and there's not enough time for the opposition to confront it and clarify it and say it's not true and prove it's not true. All he does is drop it in there to confuse people and help them go in their direction.
So you've seen some precedents of this. He's done this before.
Oh, yeah, consistently.
Like what, a couple examples?
Oh, well, in Alabama, for instance, this was a race for the state Supreme Court down there, and he managed a number of Republican candidates down there. And a guy who was on the Supreme Court, and he was, you know, diminutive fella, very good dresser, and didn't sort of fit in with the whole, you know, Southern redneck
right.
ethos. And Rove and his operatives just started, and this guy was on the board and a major donor to a boys' orphanage. And Rove and his operatives just sort of slipped something out in the last few weeks that, you know, maybe this guy is a pedophile. Maybe that's why he dresses the way he does.
Oh, my God. Well, here, let's finish your story in a second because we've got to take a break, Jim. But we're going to talk. This is Jim. Jim Moore, he's the author of Bush's Brain, and he's going to stay with us. What else is it?
Well, we've got Recovery Corner coming up.
Let's take some calls, too.
And we're going to take some calls at 866-303-2270. And former Labor Secretary Robert Rice joins
yes.
us to talk job numbers when we continue here on Air America Radio.
Are you sick and tired of your bathroom scale dictating your mood? If you're down a pound, great day. But watch out if you're up a pound or two or your clothes get a bit tighter. That is not a good day. If this sounds like you, then I urge you to step off the scale and into the CortiSlim lifestyle by calling 800-921-BURN. You know CortiSlim people. You run into those CortiSlim show-offs constantly. You hear how great and physically fit they feel and how they're going shopping for new clothes. Well, CortiSlim people have learned that at least part of their weight issues are related to stress and hormones. CortiSlim people don't drive themselves nuts because they've learned the balance of exercise, nutrition, diet, and supplementation. If you're ready, step off the scale and into the CortiSlim lifestyle.
Call now and get $20 off when you purchase two bottles of CortiSlim. $20 off two bottles. That's huge. Call 800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN. That's 800-921-BURN.
Join us October 11th for the Vote for Change concert, live from D.C. with Springsteen, R.E.M., the Dixie Chicks, the Dave Matthews Band, John Mellencamp, and a slew of others. It's 4 hours of great music and a chance to show your support for John Kerry. Well, if you're a righty, turn it up for the music and just shut it down between the songs. The Vote for Change concert, Monday the 11th at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Spectrum 18.
This is Earth and Sky, Monday, October 4th. The United Nations has declared October 4th through 10th World Space Week.
And a space-minded listener wants to know, what would happen if I struck a match in space?
Here on Earth, a match burns because of a chemical reaction between the fuel on the match head and oxygen in Earth's atmosphere. In space, oxygen molecules are few and far between. There's nothing for the fuel to react with, so a match wouldn't light.
Inside the space shuttle, astronauts have done flame experiments, but only in closed containers. Otherwise, the astronauts would risk being burned, while soot might damage sensitive equipment. To light fuel in a container, astronauts usually use a hot wire, much like what you'd find inside a toaster. So a shuttle astronaut would never strike a match. But let's imagine what would happen if you were allowed to strike a match in the open air on the space shuttle.
The match would light because there's oxygen inside the shuttle, but the flame wouldn't have the teardrop shape you see in earthly gravity. In space, the heated gas from a match expands, but there's no preferred direction for it to go. So you'd see a bubble or sphere of fire around your lighted match.
Special thanks today to the National Space Grant Foundation on the web at www.spacegrant.org. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
On Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Hi, I'm Miranda from McLean, Virginia, and I just wanted to say it's time to vote. Get out there. Have your voice heard. Young, old, and in between. It's time to change the nation.
This is Marsha Wallace in Greenville, South Carolina, and I'm asking everyone, please, don't let apathy and laziness interfere with your voting this November. Please learn about the issues and the candidates, and then vote your conscience.
Hey out there in the Sirius Nation, this is Tom Roberts from Albino, Wisconsin. This year, your vote counts more than ever. We need to overlook the hatred and vote the right man into office. Get out there and vote, America.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. TV personality Luke Perry.
All right, I got a little pop quiz for you. It's about me. What was my zip code? What city was it in? Name three kids I hung out with in the lunchroom. Name three kids your child hangs out with in the lunchroom.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Drop off the kids, run by the bank, pick up dinner, save the air. It's amazing what a mom can accomplish in an afternoon. It's called trip chaining, or combining errands into one trip. It saves time and reduces traffic congestion and pollution, making our towns a better place to live. So keep it up, because it all adds up to cleaner air. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the EPA.
Second, but 34 past the hour, I'd like to say hi to Mark Riley, and I'd like to say hi, I'm Mark, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark!
And in Recovery Corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. As always, I'm offering my counsel to my temporary sponsee, George W. Hey, buddy, everyone's talking about the report saying there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Now, we're not surprised by this. What's surprising is that you finally admitted it. Now, it would have been nice if you didn't immediately replace that lie with another lie, but I've learned that when dealing with you, I'll take whatever I can get. I'd like to think you're taking a moral inventory, and God knows it's a dark and scary stockroom no one wants to go into, but as usual, you had someone do the heavy lifting for you. And this time, it took 1,000 pages of truth, and God knows how much money, just to get your attention to see it, George W. You're a dam waiting to burst, my friend. You're cracking. Don't hold it back. We're either going to get a flood of truth or a flood of ugly. You're going to drown anyway, so you might as well drown in the truth and not the booze. You hear me? So keep the plug in the jug. Bend your knees before you bend your elbow. It's alcoholism, not alcoholism. There's no chemical solution to a spiritual problem. You got one foot in yesterday, the other foot in tomorrow. You're peeing on today. Think, think, think. Get to a meeting. All right, monkey boy? So, Jim, we're back. Yeah. How are you? Jim Moore here, the author of Bush's Brain, also the backbone of the film of the book, which I saw. It was very exciting. You're also a panelist on the gubernatorial debate against Ann Richards. And I think that as a debate guy, and I know, okay, let's finish that story, though, before you said Karl Rove dropped a loaded sort of like suggestion that an Atlanta Democrat.
Right, Alabama.
It was in Alabama.
Alabama.
And it destroyed him. And I mean, he this is a guy who's a member of the community who was involved and cared and active and took his role seriously, and he was just destroyed. This thing went to court at the end of the election. This is another thing you have to look for in this election. If it's close enough in the swing states, the Republicans will file lawsuits, and while those lawsuits
are going on,
there will be huge PR campaigns.
They're going to have there's going to be several Floridas.
That's absolutely correct. And I'm predicting that there's going to be missing memory cards from these machines, that there are going to be questionable results. There are going to be long lines because of technology problems. People are not going to grow impatient and are not going to vote. But the turnout is going to be so huge, and hopefully that Kerry will win by such a wide margin that there won't even be a chance for them to file lawsuits.
Well, that's what Mark Riley speculates.
Yeah, that's what I'm predicting. I'm predicting 8-10, Jim.
Yeah, I've said all along it's not even going to be close, and I think it's going to be between five and six points probably in terms of margin. I just don't believe that people in this country can look at everything that's happened and say, hey, let's get the guy another shot.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, that they've got it at this point, because of all the information that's coming out, because of all the questions, that it's got to look like an untrustworthy, questionable bunch of secretive, bullies.
Yeah, well, and of course, that's precisely what it is. And, you mentioned the Dufour report that came out the other day.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the perfect example, Mark, of a major governmental institution at war with the leader of the country that runs the institutions. I mean, the CIA is so tired of George Bush saying, well, you guys blew it, and that's why I made bad decisions. That they cooked the intelligence. Everyone within the CIA knows it, and they're putting out a backlash. They've been leaking right and left on these guys, and the Dufour report was the latest politically timed evidence of that, regardless of whether they deny that.
We talked to a lot of those CIA guys, and they all say the same thing. They're pissed off. They're detached, and there's definitely a war. And you don't want to, if you're the leader of the free world, you don't want to alienate the CIA.
Yeah, absolutely not. And I mean, this whole thing about Kerry looked at the same evidence I did. I still don't know why John Kerry doesn't just say, look, Mr. President, I made the same judgment that the rest of the country made because I was working on the same lie that you told them.
Exactly.
Why didn't he do that?
Maybe he will tonight.
I hope he does.
There's hope, Jim. There's definitely hope.
Yeah, because this is important. I mean, the Congress was fooled, the American public was fooled, and if John Kerry is looking at cooked intelligence, then John Kerry is screwing up in the same way the rest of us did, like John Belushi's line in an Animal House. Face it, you screwed up. You trusted us.
Yeah, well, isn't it interesting like that what you're just saying, this the intelligence comment, is that you've seen Bush debate when he was a candidate. I mean, clearly, as president, his sort of tough talk and posturing doesn't hold any credibility because it seems defensive, and he shouldn't be defensive. He's the president.
Yeah, if you watch him in debates, he's even defensive in debates that he has to ask questions. I remember when he ran against Ann Richards. He does less of this now, but that infamous debate against Ann Richards that I was a panelist on up in Dallas, you ask the guy a question, and he gives his sort of canned response that Carl has choreographed him with, and then he kind of smirks and turns his head away, like, okay, I'm done with you now. And his sort of adaptation of this style in the last debate was to tilt his head to the side and bite his cheek and force himself not to smirk. That expression on his face was him trying to control his facial tic, which puts out the smirk, And he's trying to send this message like, okay, I'll answer this question to a certain extent, but beyond that, I'm done with you. And it just comes across horribly in a debate. I think that the sort of physical cues and the aesthetics of the president in the last debate hurt him more than anything he said, because he didn't really say anything other than he spent the entire 90 minutes whining about how hard his job was.
And repeating himself, and also just the whole idea that, oh, man, where did it just go, whatever was in my head? You didn't take it, Jim, did you?
No, I took it.
I don't want what's in his head. I know it's in his head, and it looks... it looks like a BB rolling down the middle of a four-lane highway is what's in there.
Well, it just fascinates me that he was so defensive and so inarticulate and that, you know, people still see this weird stubbornness as strength. And I think that's what's great about Kerry is that, you know, he's really showing up as a diplomatic, you know, wise politician that's like throwing facts. And it's, oh, that's what I was going to say, is that it seemed that Bush is so unaccustomed at this point to playing to an audience that isn't all loyalists or fans or, you know, these sort of, you know, infantile men and women children who go, ooh, you know, and laugh at everything, that it really through them.
Yeah, in fact, I was in Washington yesterday, and I had lunch with a couple of friends who are on a Bush press plane, and I asked him, I said, you know, I can't imagine how hilarious it is to go to one of these events where the audience is canned, and they come up and they ask these questions like, Mr. President, how did you get to be so great? I said, you guys must be having a blast on the press plane after those events, because there's always... The greatest stuff is on the plane afterwards. That's where you get the actual truth of the campaign. And these guys were telling me, he said, oh, my God, it's like comedy workshop on the press plane after we go to one of these things, because they're so hilarious and they're so orchestrated that nobody takes them seriously. And we just spend the time between towns on the flights just cracking jokes and making fun of them.
That's right. You were in that movie. Didn't Pelosi's kid make a movie?
No, I wasn't in that. I stayed away from Alexander, but my buddy Wayne was in it.
Yeah, he was funny. All right, let's take a call. You want it, Jim?
Sure.
All right, Ginger, how are you in England?
Hey, Ginger.
Hi, guys.
Hey. How you doing?
Pretty good. We had a code red yesterday, lockdown at the school.
Really?
Yeah, terrorist threat, apparently. They said it was an exercise. We had no contingency for it. Everybody was kind of looking around going, what's this code red thing all about?
What school was this?
It's the base school.
Oh, my God.
School. Well, it wasn't just the military school. I listened to Randy's program this morning when I replayed it back, and she was reading some press releases that apparently a threat went out to all schools.
Really?
Well, Kerry was up in the polls by five points yesterday.
So that's what they just wanted to remind the military who to vote for?
Remember Orange Plus?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was talking to the teachers in the lounge about it yesterday. Everybody said the same thing. This is ridiculous. Why are they trying to scare the kids?
Wow. That's wild, and that's on a military base. Thanks for the call, Ginger.
Thanks, Ginger.
But how do you like that, Jim?
Look. This is another one of their tactics. And when I tell you, he's got a bullet in his gun. Don't be surprised if a week out we go to a high alert status, and the president has a big news conference to say that America is threatened. We see an attack that's coming. Let's all be on our guard.
How can people not be hip to that, though, Jim? I mean, enough already. This is the information out there. How many people can be duped by this crap at this point?
I don't know, but sometimes I think we're a nation of village idiots. You know, we put this guy in the White House in the first place.
Yeah.
And look, I've said over and over again that what they do, they know that our default position as Americans is to trust our president.
There it is.
That's what Riley said, yeah.
You know, first believe in him. And then get down to the facts. And our initial reaction if something like this came along is to say, yeah, this is real. But on the other hand, you got to believe that it, beyond a certain point, we're going to say, okay, we're tired of your crap. You've had us this long, and we're
right.
Not going to take it much longer. But I got to tell you, these guys are very, very good at taking advantage of the fact that we're all too busy living our daily lives to go deep into what's going on. And, we're relying on quickie sound bites and watching the debate over the dinner table.
Right. Well, a lot of people, like you said, Jim, are mobilizing, and that's encouraging. It's great talking to you, Jim.
Good
Moore.
Good talking to you guys, Mark.
All right. You take care, Jim.
That was Jim Moore, author of Bush's Brain, How Karl Rove Made George W. Bush President. Also, he was part of that film, too, which is kind of interesting and good. We'll be back with Robert Reich and the job numbers after this.
Why shop at going out of business sale? During Levitt's Labor Day kickoff sale, you'll find unprecedented values. There are leather sofas starting at $599. That's 40% off the regular price. Sofas starting at $299. That's 50% off. Beds starting at $199. That's 60% off. And on top of that, there's no payments or interest till 2006. Plus, Levitt's will deliver all in-stock furniture in 1 week. And don't forget about Levitt's biggest mattress event of the year, with savings of up to $600. Levitt's is kicking off Labor Day this weekend. Shop today, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and special store hours tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Levitt's, 94 years and stronger than ever.
$1,700 minimum purchase required and Levitt's preferred customer card August 31st through September 4th to qualify for finance offer. Subject to credit approval. Accrued interest credited to paid in full by the promotional expiration date as indicated on your monthly billing statement. 24% APR standard rate, 26% default rate. See store for details.
Larry King here with a question. You take vitamin E, but are you losing some of it before your body can use it? Well, now there's the advanced protection of Ester E, new from the makers of Ester C. Ester E's breakthrough form protects its antioxidant strength until your body's ready to use it. So, don't lose your E. Do what I do. Take new Ester E. Are you getting advanced protection from your vitamin E?
And now, look for new Ester E where fine vitamins are sold.
What if I told you that you could get cash back from your federal student loans? No, really. You can receive up to $1,000 cash rebate just for making your first 6 payments on time. Introducing College Loan Corporation's Reward. Now you can save up to 50% on your monthly payments, lock in the lowest interest rates in history, and you may be able to earn a significant rebate. That's cold hard cash in your pocket. To take advantage of this amazing offer, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Serious. Now serving for the match, it's Jimmy Wang. Serves to Lee. Wang. Lee. Backhand by Wang. Lee. Wang, with a tremendous forehand, wins the World Series of Ping Pong. There's the World Series, and then there's the World Series. The season wraps up. For some, it's going to be a long, cold winter. But one team will call themselves world champs. The season wraps up on ESPN Radio, Sirius 120. Go to Sirius.com for the game broadcast schedule.
Want to get your child fired up about playing a sport? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. My wife taught me that it's not a good idea to push your kids into sports. Instead, do things to get them interested. Take them to a tennis match or a baseball game. Then, give them a book or magazine on the sport. Maybe even check out a video from the library. Get excited about the sport yourself. And let them enjoy the overall experience. For ideas on how to keep your kids motivated once they do get involved with sports, go to FamilyMinute.net for a free information sheet. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Out on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Hi, this is Stella from Rochester, New York. I'm voting for John Kerry because the Bush administration is out of control with greed and power. While they sit around rattling their sabers and playing masters of the universe, they're sacrificing our environment, our personal freedoms, our jobs and health care, and our troops for their personal gain. And worst of all, they use September 11th as an excuse to get away with it. Bush has got to go, and he will go. Thank you.
Hi, this is Richard in New Mexico. Bush and Cheney are not Republicans. They are right-wing extremists. They have no respect for the Constitution or the democratic process. That's why on November 2nd, this Republican is voting for John Kerry.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
Hi, this is Mandy Patinkin for Choice Magazine Listening, a free service of the nonprofit Lucerna Fund. If you're blind or unable to read because of physical impairment, we'll mail you free recorded selections from leading magazines on special speed cassettes. For 8 hours of great writing every other month, call 516-883-8280 or write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. That's 516-883-8280.
Let's bring this thing down. Let's land it. What is this? What was just handed to me by Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman? Could it be? That's right. It's the new job numbers. Here we go. Huh?
Uh-oh.
How do you like this little fact music? The new jobs report says the economy has created 96,000 jobs in September. August job creation was also revised downward from 144,000 to 128,000. It takes 150,000 new jobs each month simply to keep up with population growth. The economy has lost 833,000 jobs since Bush took office in January 2001. What's it all mean, Mark Riley?
It means someone's in deep trouble on the eve of a debate.
Dig it. Last December, President Bush's economic team predicted that 2.6 million jobs would be created in 2004. Through September, there have been 1.4 5 million jobs created in 2004, putting Bush on pace to fall well short of his prediction with fewer than 2 million jobs created in all of 2004. Under Bill Clinton, the U.S. economy created 20 million jobs in 8 years. Now, I don't mean to sound gleeful or take this the wrong way. I am sad that people are losing their jobs. But I am happy that, you know, that this might mean the end for George Bush.
Good point.
Let's talk to Robert Reich because I'm dying to hear how he feels. You got something there you want to read there?
Well, no, this is a story out of the Globe and Mail. It's saying that planned U.S. job cuts went up 41% in September from year earlier levels, bringing the nine-month total to more than 700,000 jobs, and that surpasses full-year tallies for any year before 2001.
Dude, you know what this means? That means that the only Bush supporters that are left are completely delusional fanatics because fiscal conservatives are abandoning ship in droves.
They're living on trust funds, the
and
Bush
so are clearly unemployed people.
Yeah.
I'm assuming are not going to be voting for Bush unless they are delusional, fanatic.
Well, it's a gay marriage thing. You know how that works.
That, yeah, you know what I'm saying. The moralizers. Robert Reich, good morning, sir. Former Secretary of Labor, how are you?
Well, good morning, Mark. This number is pathetic. It really is pathetic. I hope everybody understands that.
Lay it out.
This makes it official. George Bush is the first president in 70 years to preside over an economy that actually did not produce a single new job, actually lost jobs. First president in 70 years.
Wow.
That is incredible.
So this is it, right?
This is it. This is official. This makes it official, and it's sad. I mean, you're right. I mean, as many of us, as much as we would like to say, hooray, it means that John Kerry has a much better chance now, it is sad. It is pathetic. It is awful. Americans are having a harder time now finding a job at this stage of a so-called recovery than they've ever had. I mean, this, you know, it's just unheard of that you would go 4 years. I mean, we've had presidents who have had wars and recessions and the Second World War and the Korean War and the Vietnam War. I mean, the war is no excuse for not generating jobs. The problem is that George Bush, his sole economic plan was to give a huge tax cut, mostly to rich people, and rich people already spend as much as they want to spend. They're not going to spend any more when they get a tax cut. The definition of being rich is you already spend as much as you want to spend, and that means it was not a stimulus. It did not stimulate the economy.
So he's lying.
Well, it's another lie.
You know, Secretary Rice, there's a very interesting study that's getting ready to come out early next week by the Annie E. Casey Ford and Rockefeller Foundations. That study will show that 9.2 million working families in this country, which represent almost 25% of the total, earn wages so low that they're barely able to survive financially. Now, when we talk about jobs creations, job cuts, this is an incredible statistic here.
You know, the problem is, when people hear numbers, a lot of people's eyes glaze over. The fact of the matter is, most people know the economy is lousy. Most people know that their debt is way high, record level of consumer debt, credit card debt. They know that their health insurance bills are going through the roof. They know that their gas pump, the oil bills are going to go through the roof this winter. Most people know the economy is lousy. You know, the numbers are significant as debating points, but they know it. Now, tonight, John Kerry is clearly going to make a lot of this pathetic jobs number. George Bush is going to come back and try to confuse people.
Right. And how is he going to do that?
Well, he's going to say, well, over the last year we've created, you know, then he's going to say 1.5 million new jobs, and the unemployment rate is only down to 5 point whatever it is. And we have got to, truth tellers, truth seekers, people who are actually telling the public what is going on, have got to make sure that the public understands that this job number represents the weakest job number, the weakest number of jobs we've seen at this point in a recovery ever since we've been keeping statistics, and also it means that we're not keeping up nearly with population growth.
All
right. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to record what you just said, and I'm going to put it on my little board here, and I'll just hit it whenever I feel like it.
Well, I mean, it's important that people understand the truth. It's just like Iraq. I mean, the fact that there are no weapons of destruction, that Saddam Hussein, starting after the Gulf War, was getting rid of his weapons of mass destruction, that we were lied to and lied to and lied to over and over again. The same thing with the economy. The tax cut, they said, Bush said, would generate huge numbers of jobs. It did nothing of the sort.
You know, Secretary Rice, it's amazing to contemplate that this economy's lost 833,000 jobs since January of 2001. And in 8 years, the Clinton administration created 20 million. So now you're talking about 10 million for 4 years versus a net loss of 833,000 for 4 years?
Actually, under Bill Clinton, the economy created 22 million new jobs. You know, you say 20 million. Let's give full credit where credit is
due. Hey, I'm a conservative.
So 22 million jobs in 8 years under Bill Clinton, and we've lost jobs. Over 800,000 jobs under George Bush. There should be no comparison. And John Kerry wants to go back to the policies that Bill Clinton was using and do even more on health care. Now,
I don't think you should say that, though.
I mean, you know, how can... I mean, look, a lot of people who are listening are already true believers. They're already going to vote for John Kerry. But everybody has got to get out and make sure that all their friends, all their relations, everybody they know, particularly in swing states, goes out and votes for John Kerry. I was in Michigan yesterday. Michigan has been hemorrhaging jobs, and yet because of the George Bush lies, there's still a lot of people out there who are thinking, well, I don't know, maybe haven't made up my mind. Well, how can you not make up your mind?
Those people are the ones whose eyes glaze over, and they just listen to, they're hypnotized by the idiot's voice.
Well, either that or they're hypnotized by right-wing radio, or they're hypnotized by somebody, but look at the pocketbook issues, the kitchen table economic issues, jobs, wages, health care. Just say it over and over and over again. Are you better today than you were 4 years ago?
Absolutely. Thank you, Robert Reich. I appreciate you being here.
Take care, Mr. Secretary.
Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.
Bye. I'm going to try and snap people out of the hypnosis. Wake up.
Say this. The grade is F.
Wait, where is that? I'll do it. Professor, what's your grade?
The grade is F.
Here we go. Here's your liberal agenda for the weekend. One, post sign at entrance to debate hall. No shirt, no shoes, no weapons of mass destruction. Two, in addition to debate audience passing through a metal detector, make them also pass through a PETA-approved fur detector. Got the Kent Jones thing going again. Proposed new debate rules. 90-second response, 60-second rebuttal, 30-second interpretive dance of answer. Yes, Mark's doing one.
I'm doing one. I know that.
Four, urge candidate to bring on stage their inner-city debate little brother. Nah. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. Bush doesn't have an earpiece, man. Rove talks to him through the fillings in his teeth. Why is that so hard for everyone to understand, man? I'm going to California.
Hey. But he'll be back on Monday. Coming up on Monday's Morning Edition, we're going to unspin the weekend spin on the Bush, Kerry debate, and a whole lot more. Monday's Morning Edition here on Air America Radio. Have a good one, Mary.
You too, buddy.